Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Pretty doggone good show last night, I thought. We're going to have to work hard to equal or top it this evening, I suspect. About a minute and a half past the hour, this is the Tuesday, August the 2nd, 2011 edition of The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. You know that, of course, unless you're new to The Horn, in which case, welcome, and we hope you'll be back lots and lots and lots of times and take part in the conversation. Because this is something unlike anything else going on pretty much anywhere else. It's that special. If you are new to the program, one little note. Right-wingers are not allowed here. No calls, no emails, nothing. You're not welcome. So, shoot. Move along now. You're part of the problem, not part of the solution. Goodbye now. Goodbye. It's Tuesday, as noted, and now that the debt ceiling debacle is passed and we're all sort of moving a little slow and feeling a little violated, I guess we can look at some other things, can't we? And look at other things we will over the course of the next 2 or 3 hours of cussing and discussing, as John Fox notes in the opening of the program. Hi, John. Where to begin? I got a couple of pieces of sound for you, but it's a mixed bag tonight. It's a mixed bag of crazy. It's a mixed bag of stupid. Because, of course, we are, after all, discussing the ongoing assault on the union that is Republicanism. The terroristic right-wing teabaggers put a gun to America's head. And we capitulate. Well, we didn't. You didn't. I didn't. The Democrats did. Barack Obama did. And as I after the show last night, as I thought back on things that got said and so forth, it occurred to me to just how strange and how through the looking glass this all is, because. David in Tennessee sent a note saying, oh, by the way, we are the laughing stock of the world. We are the butt of the civilized world's jokes. We are, to quote Shakespeare, a name for being put upon. And that's what got me thinking. It's true. We are. We have the teabaggers have made an absolute fool of our reputation that we were struggling to get back after the 8 long, tormented, torturous years of the dim leader administration. The rest of the world was thinking, hey, that Obama guy might be pretty good. He looks like he doesn't want to just, you know, huddle up in a ball and pretend the rest of the world doesn't exist. And then everything changed, and he started surrendering. But in the course of thinking about us being the butt of an international joke, the whole sort of upside down, topsy turvy, backwards, and shoved in sideways nature of this process just sort of grabbed me. When it all come down to nut cutting time, the Republican Party and the teabaggers, who are all about fiscal conservatism and fiscal sanity, right? Because the Republican Party is the party that America counted on for generations to pay attention to things monetary, that stood in a sort of symbiotic balance with the New Deal hopes of the Democratic Party and the leanings toward greater justice for a larger percentage of the population. Right, you know, Eisenhower Republicans. You know, Nelson Rockefeller kind of Republicans. Not that I liked them, but you could at least understand where they were coming from. It's like that old joke. You know, what's the, well, you know, one mafia gives you makes you an offer you can't refuse. Another one makes you an offer you can't understand. Well, that's the difference between the Republican Party and the teabaggers. You both know they're both violent thugs, but you can at least comprehend why one of them is the way they are, whereas the other group are just morons, but violent ones into the mix. And so it was that we found ourselves at an impasse in which the Democratic Party, in the final analysis, that probably goes on Sandra's list, probably should, could not stand the idea of being irresponsible children and tearing something up just to see what it looked like when it was all in pieces. I did that to one of my father's lawnmowers once when I was a kid. I did my best to put it back together again, but I had extra screws, and it never ran right. That was the beginning and end of my fascination with small engine repair. There were always extra screws. But that's where the Democratic Party found itself. The Democrats couldn't stand the idea of completely wrecking the U.S. economy. Whereas the party of financial common sense said, burn, baby, burn. And that is, compared to the conventional wisdom and the common talking points, that's upside down, backwards, and sideways. Because remember, liberal, by God, they're tax and spend liberals over there with their tasseled loafer trial lawyer allies and trying to destroy perfectly good, honest, decent, upstanding American business. But it was the Democrats who stood up in this stinking deal and said, no matter how bad it is, we can't hang the country out to dry financially. Because there were a lot of dire warnings out there, not just grandma and grandpa, but as noted, aid going out to folks with disabilities, caregivers, a huge laundry list. The folks over at the United States Student Association noting that with the Budget Control Act of 2011 signed today by President Not Sure, there's an additional $17 billion toward preserving the Pell Grant program for millions of low and moderate income students. It helped to close an $11 billion funding gap. That means that the neediest students can get up to $5,550, the maximum award level, for college. They also note, however, unfortunately, the agreement to fund the Pell Grant comes from savings that eliminate graduate student loan subsidies and other loan incentives totaling nearly $22 billion, or $4 billion of which goes towards deficit reduction. So, interestingly, we're going to reduce, theoretically, a fiscal deficit while at the same time exacerbating an intellectual one. Short-term financial deficit reduction for long-term intellectual deficit nightmares. Yeah, we don't need no smart people in America. That's what PACA stands for. They work cheap, too. God bless the internet and internet telephony. We can leave them over there in Whatchawar and let them just work their little fingers to the bone for next to nothing, reading our CT scans and whatnot. We don't need no brains over here. Proof here in a few minutes that at least one community in Missouri isn't interested in having any brains. Jesus. But it was the Democrats who gave in to the hostage takers and met all of their demands, gave them a limousine to the airport, a helicopter ride, and a jet out of here to, I don't know, Somalia, where there's an economy they can really get their heads around, metaphorically speaking. And just ponder that, if you will. Has the Republican Party completely abandoned, you know, we got to cut taxes, we're getting jobs. It's all just the stupid maunderings of your drunken uncle at Thanksgiving now. Pay no attention. He gets like this every year. And despite the deal, what happened to the stock market today? I mean, President Not Sure got out his bill, sign, and pen and signed it into law, and that means we'll raise the debt ceiling a little bit till we decide to have another fight over the debt ceiling, and that's what Mitch McConnell says we're going to have. And still, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dumped 2.19%, down 265.87 points from somewhere around 12,060 to 11,866. I think maybe the market knows something we don't know. Think the market maybe understands things that President Not Sure doesn't? Like the fact that these teabaggers aren't done? That they're going to continue to do everything they can to wreck this country so that they can try to hang it like some albatross-shaped millstone around President Not Sure's neck? That he can wear all the way to November 2012? Think maybe that kind of toxic politics doesn't bode well for anybody? Market, you, me, Main Street, don't matter? Let's see. According to the New York Times story, Miles Ziblock, chief institutional strategist and managing director of capital markets research at RBC Capital Markets, said, as the macro data comes out, it seems like we may have more on our hands than just getting the debt ceiling raised. We get no default, but the bad news is there is a growth trade-off. They had to agree on fiscal contraction that would weigh on growth. Yeah, the long and the short of it is early numbers indicate that something like 1.8 million jobs will take a powder as a result of this capitulation. $1.8 million, you know, odds are That's 1/300th of the population. Well, no, 1/15th of the 300 million. One 1/150th of the population, just about, is going to be out of a job. That's one out of 150 people. Odds are, you know somebody, or you know somebody, or you know somebody who knows somebody who's going to be burnt by this. Because God knows, well, you know, we don't need any jobs or anything. So I guess we're done with that, right? At least, like I said, until we're not done with it and Mitch McConnell decides to hold the knife to America's throat again. That evil bastard! Of course, they're all evil bastards. But they're bragging. They are. They're bragging. Like I said, I got some audio for you. Free market Florida. Whatever the hell they are, they managed to find my email address. Free Market Florida is celebrating the 99th birthday of Milton Friedman, or as Benedict at Large, our good buddy, refers to him, Uncle Milty. Noting in a tweet to me earlier today, in a fiat currency, there is no burden from sovereign debt that is passed down to children. That's Uncle Milty garbage. One thing I think we do need to bear in mind and be responsible for and responsible about is if President Not Sure should be replaced by, and, you know, just ponder this, all of you who say, I'm never going to vote for Barack Obama never again, no more, no how. If it should happen that President Perry or President Bachman or President Romney That was the sound his dog made up on top, strapped down to the top of the family station wagon on the way to Canada a few years back. At least they didn't put a leash around his neck and tie it to the back bumper like the Griswolds did. Jesus. But if President Romney decides, and they will, okay, once all the hardcore progressives, and I hate that Barack Obama. Once they've decided that we would be better off with President Palin, or President Pawlenty, or hey, President Kaine, and stayed home, or actually gone and voted for him, or you know voted for a Green Party candidate or something like that, you know, one of those third party candidates that means nothing. I'm sorry, it just doesn't. It's a vanity vote, because they're vanity candidates. Sorry. Wish it wasn't so, but it is. Read the Constitution. But in future years, once they... You remember Dick Cheney, right? Richard B. Dick, big-time Cheney? Dick Cheney before he dicks you, Cheney? You remember back, you know, in those bad old days when we were all sort of all on the same side because we hated them damn Republicans. And how upset we were over the deficits being run over the Iraq War, the Afghanistan War, the Secret War, the torture, all of that. And how pissed off we were when we heard Dick Cheney say, well, you know, in this day and age, deficits no longer matter. We all collectively face-palmed ourselves and said, what? Oh, they don't matter. Well, you know, now that one's in the White House, they matter again. But rest assured, under President Perry, or President Bachman, or President Bush, doesn't that just have a nostalgic ring to it, President Bush? Deficits won't matter some more. and we will run deficits like crazy because you know what? Our taxes are still too high. We are still not, oh my God, we are not giving near enough money away to the rich people that's out there creating all them jobs that they're not out there creating. So let's just be consistent about this. We're okay with deficits right now. I guess we have to be okay with them when President Perry wants to run him some. You know, because he'll need to go to, you know, he'll be a Republican president and he'll need to go to war with, you know, Uzbekistan or something. Or Kyrgyzstan. Somewhere that there's some evildoers. But anyway, Milton Friedman. They're celebrating down at Free Market, Florida, Milton Friedman's birthday. They're celebrating by highlighting Milton Friedman's seminal eye pencil video of some 30 years back. Let's give a listen. Do you mind? I think you'll find this, well, it'll be entertaining the way that watching a guy who's not wearing a Bluetooth just talk to the air is, you know, the drunk guy at the end of the bar. Yeah. That kind of entertaining.
Look at this lead pencil. There's not a single person in the world who could make this pencil. Remarkable statement? Not at all.
About 30 years ago, noted economist Milton Friedman released this extraordinary video, simply and elegantly illustrating the phenomenon of the free market. All he needed was a pencil. On what would be Friedman's 99th birthday, we're taking another look at that simple tool. We live in a world of sophisticated products, from mobile phones and personal computers to microchips and high-def TVs. But what about the lowly pencil? Surely the pencil is not a miracle of the free market economy.
Now, what you won't hear in here is any mention of the lowly worker who makes that lowly pencil. No, the language propaganda here is delicious.
Humble, unassuming, and seemingly simple. It is unlikely that a single person alive could make this pencil all by themselves. A ridiculous statement? Not in the least. What goes into a pencil? Well, let's start out with the cedar. The wood must withstand repeated sharpening without spoil.
Really? This dude can afford solid wood pencils? I can't find any of those around here. They're all made out of pressed sawdust. This free marketeer buys cedar pencils. For those of you who, you're going to talk about where the cedar comes from in a minute. For those of you who grew up watching Warner Brothers cartoons, do you remember the one, because the gang there at Warner Brothers had a taste for parodizing or satirically poking fun at the industrial process. And you remember the industrial theme? You know, that one? I remember one cartoon that showed a toothpick factory that showed entire tree trunks being placed on lathes and sawed down to individual toothpicks. Yeah, this is like that. You'll see. You'll hear.
Splintering and can't warp or lose its shape. Probably comes from the northwestern United States. Consider the logging machinery, like saws, themselves produced by...
Or maybe the lumber comes from the last stands of hardwood in Malaysia or Indonesia, maybe. Who knows?
Steel and other metals, mined or developed domestically and overseas. Trucks assembled at factories in the United States or abroad, utilizing billions of dollars of factory equipment and professional know-how.
That travel on roads built by, that's right, the free market. Oh, no, wait a minute.
Highly skilled loggers themselves using...
Highly skilled loggers. Highly skilled loggers. I've had some crisp, refreshing loggers, but I've never met a highly skilled logger. I've met a lot of loggers. I mean, there's a lot of good old boys working the timber around here. It is, the coal mining included in Appalachia, in West Virginia at least, it is the single most dangerous undertaking, the single most dangerous job in the state, working in the timber, as they say. but I have yet to meet anybody who works in it who is a highly skilled logger. Most of them got scars all over them. And most of them are there because, well, they didn't want to go to school no more when they were 16. Or because it's unskilled labor and they can get a job for, you know, cash under the table. About $8 an hour, maybe? Yeah. The highly skilled loggers.
Countless products, from clothes to coffee, which involved equally complex supply chains. Then take a look at graphite. Once it was mined from South America, and today it is more commonly produced at a factory to achieve the desired density. Graphite is typically mixed with clay for consistency and color. And then brass, which comes from copper and zinc, requires professional labor to extract its constituent metals from the earth. The brass creates a small device, which, combined with tiny rings of black nickel, fix the eraser to the pencil. Then, of course, there's the eraser itself. It looks like rubber and is produced by mixing a particular seed oil from the Pacific with sulfur chloride. Rubber is then
No mention in here of all these things coming from all these places and all the people that are tormented during the mercantilist extractive processes involved, from the South American graphite to the nickel and the brass and the cedar wood and it's like rubber. No mention of the people whose lives are put at hazard, who have to live around these processes. Now, why? Well, the free market doesn't care. That's why.
Mixed with various accelerating agents like pumice from Europe to bind the eraser together. Then, of course, there's the wax, the lacquer, and the paint, all produced from a similarly complex network of raw materials, transportation, capital, and labor from all...
Yeah, capital comes first, right? Capital, yeah, because capital can work by itself. Capital and labor, but yeah. Not organized labor by any... No.
Over the world, millions of dollars of factory machinery managed by a professional labor force will then ensure that the pencil is cut.
Professional labor force? What, they're architects, lawyers, and doctors working at... What?
Glued, shaped, sanded, varnished, cleaned, and coated. I was able to buy the final product for only pennies.
And where was it made that you were able to buy it for only pennies? Come on. I don't know. Maybe there are a few pencils made in America yet. But it's those free market economic policies of Milton, the toxic Friedman that made sure that all these jobs left America. But why would we want to let details get in the way?
How? The vast chain of events, which itself would appear simple when compared to the process that produces a modern computer or cell phone, happens without any central planning. There is no congressional committee that determines the supply of rubber, metal, or lumber. No government official tells us how much it should cost.
No, but congressional committees and government officials do dole out massive amounts of corporate welfare to these free marketeers and create laws and regulatory schemes that allow these free marketeers almost untrammeled access to markets that they probably wouldn't be able to get into without help. Jesus.
Or how it should be produced. It happens miraculously and seemingly invisibly.
Miraculously and invisibly. Oh my God, the free market's like God! It's just like God. It's miraculous and invisible.
Because of the forces of the free market. We take it for granted, and we shouldn't. Because while it's easy to see the miracle of the natural environment, the miracle of the free market, even more...
The miracle of the free market is the miracle of making that natural environment disappear. How about that? First you see it, then you don't. All those magnificent cedar forests... hey, look at it's a clear-cut eroded wasteland now because the free market found it. Isn't that special?
Astounding is nonetheless invisible to us. Our founders fought a revolution to establish economic freedom.
Oh, my God. Our founders fought a revolution to establish economic freedom. Some bitch. Never mind the fact that we were fighting the revolution the same year that Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations was published. That it wasn't even being seriously considered here for several years because, well, you know, it takes a little while to get books into circulation and stuff like that. And mostly only rich folks could own books anyway. But, you know, those are facts, and facts get in the way of stories of invisible miracles like the free market, don't you know?
That freedom has produced more prosperity for more people than any government, special interest, or central planner in the centuries that preceded or followed its invention. You can learn more at freemarketflorida.org or visit us on Facebook.
I wouldn't call it learning. Jesus, what a bunch of hucksters. What a bunch of con artists. Because it's all just the free market. Ooh, the free market, the unregulated free market. Laissez-faire, baby, laissez-faire. Except it's all a fraud. It's all a con. There's not a fact in there, not one. And I don't know if this clown in the video is actually a member of Free Market Florida or some actor that they paid a pittance to stand there and hold their little animated Facebook box or play with their animated pencil. Yeah, I don't know. But he's made a couple of different videos. The price tag. What does bad science cost? Bad science, huh? Wonder what he means by bad science. I bet I know. I bet you know, too. You know, being concerned about having a planet that will actually support human life. Yeah. Oh, he's back.
...have said that its costs could soar into the billions of dollars. I'm talking about the U.S. EPA's numeric nutrient criteria, caused largely by a lawsuit. These aggressive new federal regulations are little more than a tax on water in Florida.
Really? A tax on water in Florida? No, I'd say that whoever's funding this filthy little front group is actually perpetrating a tax on water in Florida. God almighty. See what a little free market money will do? You can just put out videos on the interweb tubes and tell any old lie you want to. From David in Tennessee, most skilled loggers can only count to 8.5. Ponder that. P.S. The pencil capital of the world is, or used to be, Shelbyville, Tennessee. No, really. Yeah, emphasis on used to be, I'll warrant. David in Tennessee also going on to note, free of government regulation, huh? Let's see now, Uncle Milty. The pencil's unregulated, okay. Does a pencil represent the danger to the world that does mountaintop removal or maybe a nuclear power plant or a rogue stock market set up to fleece the 99% and benefit the 1%? Well, you know, it's just a free market. I mean, if you get fleeced, you know, well, you're free to get fleeced. This ain't doing Sandra any good either. Yikes! The background music is real insipid and it's getting on my nerves. Ron and Raleigh, the magic of the damn free market is that it ain't free unless you're in the top 1% of wealth holders. Well, there's your magic. Nice. Glad to know this is not... Yeah. Jesus. Where would they be without their tax write-offs? Where would they be without their corporate welfare? Well, they don't want that kind of freedom. Oh, hell no. But, you know, that's where we... Was it the free market that tanked the Dow Jones today? You'd think the free market would have been all over itself. Oh, look, free money! But no. Not so much. Not so much. Robert, in Australia. Bob, I did economics at high school. First lesson, there's no such thing as free. Everything has a cost. And if the free market does all this magic, governments would never have arisen because the free market would have taken care of everyone's needs centuries ago. Oh, toaster. Always looking for the silver lining to any vile right-wing cloud, David in Tennessee noting, hey, Sandra, at least they didn't intercut that music with Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. Count your blessings. Oh, just don't give them ideas. Don't give them ideas, please. But that's the kind of lunacy we're up against. And it's broad spectrum lunacy. I suppose, and you know, I find this interesting because it's one of those cases of, you know, there's stuff out there that we really didn't like about the debt ceiling deal. So what gets announced today? Everybody cue up Julie Andrews. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Yeah, that's the last singing for the night. Oh, at least by me. Coinciding with the debt ceiling disaster, the Obama administration did announce that all health insurers are going to be required to cover birth control now and other women's health services without charging copays. The right wing has, well, if they had a mind to lose, I'd say they'd lost their mind, but no, they're just having another stump-liquored up little frenzy over this. My particular favorite being the Fox Radio Rwanda segment today that featured a revolting blonde named Sandy Rios from Family Pack Federal. She's the vice president. Countering Sandy Rios was a woman, formerly the Women's Media Center president, Jamu Green, who was there to advocate for greater access to birth control. Now, there's racism and there's racism. You know, there's the institutional stuff like apartheid, and then there's the subtle stuff like facing off the right-wing, conservative, God-fearing, America-loving white lady against the black lady who wants to make sure more people can get birth control. You know, because, well, you know. So just take a moment. Take a moment and listen to this little face-off from Radio Rwanda. You're going to love it. It's precious.
It's a controversial addition to health care reform, and reaction has been swift to the Obama administration's decision to require insurance companies to cover birth control at no extra cost. Will this improve women's health, or is it more government spending at the expense of personal responsibility? Here for a fair and balanced
More government spending at the expense of personal responsibility. Somebody got paid to write that. I mean, do they just like eat mushrooms or drop acid or something and go to work at Fox every day? Let's see. pink sparkle ponies at the expense of government spending. Personal responsibilities. That's it. Oh my God, the walls are breathing. But I mean, you get a sense. I mean, that was the Fox lady. That was the Fox attack, the anchor blonde. You get the sense for where this is supposed to go. Okay, so we're going to have a fair and balanced debate.
Debate is Jamu Green. She's the former president of the Women's Media Center, and Sandy Rios, vice president of Family PAC Federal. Both our guests are Fox News contributors. Hello, ladies. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Allison.
Good morning. Jamu, I want to start with you. The average copay for birth control pills right now is $14. That's the average, okay? So that means that for millions of women, it's less. Some pay $5. Why do we need more government expenditure for something that is, frankly, this cheap and accessible?
Well, Allison, this is a tech...
Okay, notice the sleight of hand. The average copay is blah, blah, blah. But those are for plans that actually cover birth control. Right? See how it works? There's no copay if your plan doesn't cover it. This makes sure it's covered.
Book definition of win-win. You know, we have right now 50% of pregnancies in this country are unintended pregnancies. And anyone who, you know, has looked at women's health care and may fall on the side of being against abortion should be celebrating this historic decision, because this is going to dramatically decrease abortions in America.
Oh, okay.
And that's something I think...
Well, that certainly makes a lot of sense and sounds like you're using your brain, Ms. Green. Can't have none of that on Fox.
I think both sides want.
Okay, Sandy, your response.
La La Land.
See? Intellectual response. White lady. La La Land. It only gets better, I promise.
Very nice to talk to you this morning. I would just like to say that if women now don't take birth control, and it's, by the way, the generic brand, you can buy it for $9 a month, so now we're going to make it free. And the theory is that if we make it free, they will really actually now take it. And
they will really actually now take it. They who, Ms. Rios? They who?
That is ridiculous. And I would also like to say, is the White House out of their mind?
Okay, this is why she was brought on, all right? She has absolutely, I mean, just listen to her. I'm going to play it for you. She has absolutely nothing of any substance whatsoever to offer. But she was brought on because this is their cute little pull quote from their press release.
And that is ridiculous. And I would also like to say, is the White House out of their mind? Does the West Wing not know what the left wing is doing?
Oh, wasn't that cute?
We have $14 trillion in debt, and now we're going to cover birth control, breast pumps, counseling for abuse. Are we going to do pedicures and manicures as well? I think that...
I love me some compassionate conservatism, don't you? I mean, we're going to cover counseling for abuse victims. What's next? Manicures and pedicures? Because you know what? After you've had the snot beat out of you, after you've been slapped around and flung around the house like a rag doll with its sawdust cut, after he's whomped on you for a little while and maybe blacked an eye or bruised a kidney, you know what? You don't need no counseling. You don't need anybody to sit there and say, honey, you don't have to tolerate this. You can get out. We will help you. We'll give you a place to stay, make sure you're fed, make sure your children are all right, till you can get away from that godforsaken monster. We don't need any of that. Counseling? And what did she equate it to? God Almighty, these upstanding, God-fearing, right-wing, family values types make me want to vomit in a bucket. What are we going to do next? Free manicures and pedicures? Well, yeah, why not? Assuming he hadn't stomped all of her feet to where the nails all turn black and fall off. This is the out-of-touch-with-reality family values crowd.
What? We're going to pay for... We're going to pay... I mean, no. Listen. This just crawled on... It feels like spiders.
They will really actually now take it. And that is ridiculous. And I would also like to say, is the White House out of their mind? Does the West Wing not know what the left wing is doing? We have $14 trillion in debt, and now we're going to cover birth control, breast pumps, counseling for abuse. Are we going to do pedicures and manicures as well? I think that would be a good idea.
Jamu, one of the points that Sandy raises is...
Okay, here we go. We're going to try to combat this lunacy with some actual intellect. Hint. For people who watch Radio Rwanda, it don't work.
That all of these unplanned pregnancies are not really because of lack of access to birth control. It's because people have birth control and they don't use it. So at some point, isn't this just personal responsibility?
Absolutely not. And to look at the economic...
Come on, Jamu! Come on! Tell her what a shit-slurping little harpy she is for suggesting that a raped woman has that her need of counseling is the same thing as a goddamn pedicure and a manicure. Come on, Jamu, do it, baby.
Reason behind this that
Nope, we're going to use our brains.
He tried to point to these unintended pregnancies cost us over $11 billion a year. How can we not look at this as a cost-saving measure?
See, this is what they went over in the boardroom before she came over for the interview. We're going on Fox. We're going to be talking to cranky old white people. So we have to explain to them how much money they're going to be saving out of this. Okay, that's going to be our talking point.
I don't necessarily see that as being the top reason, because the top reason is clearly women's health and family health, and
yes,
and really being able to space out your pregnancies and plan them has been proven to help women's health.
Sandy?
But there is an economic factor, and that's saving $11 billion a year.
What do you say to that, Sandy?
I don't believe that.
I believe in Jeebus. I don't believe that. See, there we go again with the most dangerous word in the English language, believe. Those are facts. Ms. Green just laid out a bunch of facts. And how does Sandy Rios, with her white blouse and her necklace and her white blouse all unbuttoned down to yonder, how does she counter it with her nice little blonde dye job? How does she counter it? Well, I just don't believe that.
In a heartbeat. And I would also like to just...
This as a cost-saving measure. I don't necessarily see that as being the top reason, because the top reason is clearly women's health and family health, and really being able to space out your pregnancies and plan them has been proven to help women's health.
Sandy?
But there is an economic factor, and that's saving $11 billion a year.
What do you say?
Now remember, get out your Cap'n Crunch decoder ring, because you're going to be doing some... Well, more like Cap'n Cracker, isn't it? You're going to be doing some decoding here in a minute.
I don't believe that in a heartbeat. And I would also like to just ask you as a woman, why...
She just called her a liar. She called her specifically by name. Jamu, I don't believe that in a heartbeat. Now here comes the fun one. Here comes another fun one.
In a heartbeat. And I would also like to just ask you as a woman, why in the world would you encourage your daughters and your granddaughters and whoever else comes behind you to have unrestricted,
Now you see what we just did? We went from a conversation about birth control to now this white lady is accusing the black lady of encouraging her children and her grandchildren to have unrestricted wanton sex. Because you know. Yeah, don't put the Cap'n Cracker decoder ring away. Listen to this again. Listen to this again. This is sickening.
Say to that,
Sandy. I don't believe that in a heartbeat. And I would also like to just ask you as a woman, why in the world would you encourage your daughters and your granddaughters and whoever else comes behind you to have unrestricted, unlimited sex anytime, anywhere, and that somehow, if you prevent pregnancy, that somehow you've helped them?
Any,
anybody else out there wanting to throw things yet? Because you know, as sure as God made little green apples, and if you eat too many of them, you'll get a roaring bellyache and the trots after, you know that Miss Sandy Rios has been on the pill at least a decade or two. But we've gone from the question of whether or not the government should mandate that the pill be covered and openly, easily available to this sickening accusation by this filthy old bitch, Sandy Rios. Pardon, I'm not trying to be sexist here, but I'm running out of gender neutral. I'm sorry. You don't want to hear the word that Agnes used when I showed her this clip. That! Yeah, it's a word I won't use and recommend that no man ever use in the presence of a lady. We've gone from a discussion of birth control to a discussion of whether or not people, women in particular, should be free to make their own sexual decisions. And this nasty old bag, Sandy Rios, has looked square in the camera and told this other obviously intelligent woman that she is openly encouraging her daughters and granddaughters to have unrestricted sex. Yeah, you heard it. You heard it right.
Well, I could just ask you as a woman, why in the world would you encourage your daughters and your granddaughters and whoever else comes behind you to have unrestricted, unlimited sex anytime, anywhere, and that's some...
Anytime, anywhere. Anywhere. Park benches, back behind the dumpster with some seedy old man. Anytime, anywhere. Middle of the day, middle of the night, out in the yard. Oh, they're uncontrollable.
Now, if you present to prevent pregnancy, that somehow you've helped them. I would submit to you that uncontrolled sexual behavior is what is harming our girls, not their lack of birth control, which, by the way, they don't seem interested in taking anyway. Having a baby is not the worst thing. I think having multiple sex partners without any kind of restraint or responsibility...
Dr. Freud! Oh, Dr. Freud! Did you hear that? I think having multiple sex partners without any kind of restraints. What kind of restraints, Sandy, honey? A little ball gag, maybe? Some velvet-lined handcuffs? Maybe a little hog-tie action? Woo! Suey pig! Sure do got a pretty mouth. Sooner or later, all of these supposedly button-down, straight-laced, right-wing Christians will give themselves away. Sex without restraints. Maybe some of them hooker heels. Right? You know what I mean. Them kind of shoes. A little bit, maybe a little something trashy from Fredericks of Hollywood. And a few restraints. Maybe a little gimp hood for you too, Sandy. Ooh, doesn't that get y'all tingly? There it is, sex without restraints.
Which, by the way, they don't seem interested in taking anyway. Having a baby is not the worst thing. I think having multiple sex partners without any kind of restraint or responsibility is much more damning. Why would you support that?
Well, damning? Really? Well, why not bring out the religious iconography while we're at it? Damning. Damning? Isn't that something... Yeah, that really is. That's church talk. Oh, their little souls are just a-crackling around the edges from all that sex they're having without restraints.
I support when you have a pregnancy that there's...
I think Ms. Jamu Green is beginning to struggle a little bit because she really does want to tell her what's up. I think... Yeah, come on.
...a commitment to parenting. And that is what happens when you have the ability to have family planning, which contraception is such an important part of. You know, again, we are looking at such a historic moment where 50 years ago, the birth control pill in many states was illegal. This decision that the Obama administration has made to include within the health care reform bill, it is going to affect the 50% of pregnancies that are unintended in this country.
And Sandy,
I've heard you argue against abortions for many, many years. This is going to dramatically decrease abortions. How can you be against that?
Sandy, your response, do you think this will decrease abortions?
We're talking about fantasy. I'm talking about women's hearts
and there she goes again.
Their mental health, their spiritual health, and I reject the notion outright that if we encourage and give away birth control that we're somehow helping women. I don't believe that. And Jamu, let me tell you something else. In Red China, they have this down to a science.
Communist!
The local health care centers make women
when all
come
else
in every
fail,
month.
When you're a right-winger and all else fails on Fox, call them a commie. Sure, why not?
To be examined, to see if they've had their cycle, to make sure they're taking their medication, and if they have a baby, they are roundly punished. If they have an extra baby, that baby is aborted.
Now, wait a minute. Over in communist China, I think she's making the argument that in communist China, women have routine, regular gynecological exams. Every month, apparently. Make sure they've had their cycles. I guess we can't say period on Fox, can we? And they're roundly punished. See, we're punishing again. Restraint and punish. Just listen to the language as it creeps out of the subconscious of these swamp-dwelling right-wingers.
Let me tell you something else. In Red China, they have this down to a science.
Red China? You mean the Red China that that your colleagues are all over themselves to do business with? Right? That Red China? Yeah, that's what I thought.
The local health care centers make women come in every month to be...
You mean they're not local abortion mills? No, they're health care centers.
Examine to see if they've had their cycle, to make sure they're taking their medication, and if they have a baby, they are roundly punished. If they have an extra baby, that baby is aborted. That's the control we're moving toward.
Yeah, that's the control we're moving toward, because, you know, we got 2 billion people in the United States just like China. Because you know what China needs to be doing, according to Sandy? They need to get rid of all that birth control and have some more babies. Because China ain't got enough people in it. You know, this would be hilarious if it wasn't so damn frightening. These right-wing freaks are out to control every sexual function in the entire United States. Doesn't it seem that way to you? Because it damn sure does to me. And, you know, the pill itself, yes, it is a birth control pill, but it also has another use. There is a condition out there that sadly I know a little something about, because I've watched the pain and suffering that it causes, called polycystic ovaries. And the hormones contained in the pill often provide relief for that misery. Right? But let's not, you know, let's not remind Sandy Rios of that or anything. because that's, you know, fact-based. We're not done. We will be in a minute, but we're not done.
Reject that. I'm able to take my own medicine to pay my own $9, and I reject the notion that you have to micromanage women in this country in order to do what? To let them
be. Clearly, Sandy's point is she wants to put ideology over public health, and that's just not the responsible thing. That's not the responsible thing to do.
I do want to get to the most controversial portion of this plan, and that is that the morning after pill will also be provided free of charge. And Jammu, as you know, many religious groups and others feel that this is a form of abortion. Should this also be included?
Well, I think if you look at 98% of Catholic women in this country and almost 100% of evangelicals who are sexually active have used birth control. And so, you know, I kind of dismiss some of the institutions that are against this. The morning after pill has been determined by the medical community, by scientists, to be contraception. It works in the same way that an IUD works. It is birth control. And there are people who want to put ideology over public health, but that's not the direction that this historic decision is moving us in, and that's the right direction
Sandy,
we should be moving in.
Jammu, you all make science a laughing stock. You present science and facts just to present your viewpoint. It's your ideology that drives you. And I would like to say that the morning after pill, whether it is abortifacient or not, has other detrimental effects. In Great Britain, where it was legalized first, there was an outbreak of older men taking in underage girls the morning after to get their pills so that no one would ever have to know and there was no consequence. I reject that, and I reject as a taxpayer being forced to pay for it. I am against this on ideological, women's health,
every
convention.
We pay for a lot of things that we
disagree
with, and this is something that is in the public health.
You've made your feelings known. Obviously, this is a very intense and contentious issue. Jammu Green.
Jesus. I feel dirty. How about you? Because you know. I mean, you know. You just know that in order to be able to sit there and pontificate from the right wing like this Sandy Rios has done, you know, don't you? Yeah. You know what her reality is like, because she is, what? A right-winger, and therefore a hypocrite. David in Tennessee noting, decoder ring, screw that, I want my old liver-spotted very white hands around the neck of that vicious white harpy's neck. She's more than a little worried about any white chick having sex with the Old Spice body wash guy. Yeah! It ain't nothing but pure, unmitigated racism. Ron and Raleigh asking, if you're like me, he says the other shoe drops, if you're like me, you've often wondered what the right lifers would do if they got their way on abortion. Now you know they will go after birth control. Actually, Ron, it's the other way around. If you really want to attack abortion, sooner or later, sooner, you really have to go after Griswold versus Connecticut. Roe versus Wade is a mess of a legal opinion. It is. I'm not saying it was decided wrongly. I'm saying it was decided poorly. It's a mess. Go read it. But the underpinning of Roe versus Wade is the landmark case, Griswold versus Connecticut. And if you really want to go after a woman's right to choose, a woman's right to control her own insides, you've got to go after her access to birth control, because it is the absolute fundamental premise upon which the right to choose is conditioned. Seriously.
So that's the filibobster for tonight. Let's take a little break and come back. By the way, it's the second day of August. We are fundraising again. We fundraise every day. We need six members of the Thrifty 250 each night, and we'll be okay. Last night we got three out of six. So that leaves us tonight needing nine. Nine people, $10. And that'll keep us, because what happens each month determines what happens the month following. It's a hell of a way to live, this hand-to-mouth existence. It's a hell of a way to run a railroad or a radio network, but it's the only way we've got. PayPal button's at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute, as is the snail mail address. Pro-choice, pro-woman, pro-brains. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
Was clean. It was right before Easter in the first week of spring. Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Hey guys, I know I'll say it enough, but I'm going to say it now. When push comes to shove, you guys are always there for me. You really hung in there. And, you've always been so close to me. So, don't take this the wrong way, but I got you something. I love you guys!
Aw, we love you too!
I love you guys. Powder for your nads. By Bubble Genius.
BubbleGenius.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Yes, indeed, 13 minutes past the hour, a little bit of a prophecy moment before we go back to the phones. It's not prophecy, it's easy. But I just got an email in during the course of my last little fit from our buddy Dave in South Carolina. Breaking news. Apparently, Pat Buchanan just called President Obama, "Yo, boy," on Al Sharpton's show on MSNBC. If you don't know why I'm feeling like it, well... 10-cent prophet with a two-bit robe, you know. But, no, just go back to last night's program and you'll figure it out. Yo, boy! I hope somebody will pick that up and run with it. Maybe the fine folks at Media Matters for America caught it. Sure would be nice. Oh, and by the way, this is inspiring. Renee just writing in. Keep up the good work. I love this, and I'm a Christian. And let's understand something. There's a difference between Christians and the right-wing religion industry. The right-wing religion industry flogs Christ worse than any Roman centurion ever had a dream of doing. But they have absolutely nothing to do with his teachings or the way he lived his life. Okay, let's just... Yeah. Not that I... I mean, you know, classic case in point. Going right back to the phones, I promise. Classic case in point, Alabama. Today. And you gotta give props when props are due. You know, they've got that uber hateful, so-called illegal alien law down there. The new immigration law. That goes so far as to criminalize people, a person, if they should happen to knowingly or not. Take an illegal alien to the hospital. Or McDonald's. So, Episcopal Bishop Henry N. Parsley, Roman Catholic Bishop Robert Baker, and United Methodist Bishop William H. Wilmon all filed a suit yesterday to stop the enforcement of that filthy, filthy piece of bigotry that oozed and flowed and sleazed out of the state house at Goat Hill in Montgomery. That's the Episcopals, the Roman Catholics, and the Methodists. Now, just like what I was saying in response to Renee's email, notice who ain't there. The single largest denomination in Alabama, the Baptists, ain't there. Because, I mean, I guess they're really not worried about it. It's not like they'd ever, you know, take a a person in extremis to the hospital, or, you know, feed, you know, somebody, you know, that looked Mexican. And to think that my name is still on the membership rolls of a Southern Baptist church in Alabama. Oh, you know, I'm not going to run out there and just, you know, cancel the membership or anything. I'm not hurting anything. And, you know, if I'm ever down there on a Wednesday, it gets me into fellowship dinner in the fellowship hall. And mercy, it's good. Just saying. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Sandra.
Hey, so my latest favorite saying is, things always look darkest before they go completely black.
There.
Anyway, this fool signed this, had the nerve to say, it was a totally, you know, he called it a manufactured and avoidable crisis, you know, and I take you back to that little clip I sent you, really? Come on, dude. He just signed a suicide pact. I know you were talking about before, you know, all the liberals aren't going to vote for him and all this sort of stuff, you know, President Bachman or whoever, but I kind of think that, he overplayed his hand. I think he's in trouble.
Yeah, and let's
look at the economy.
Yeah, let's be clear about that. If a lot of people, progressives and so forth, do walk away from him, it won't be because he was trying his best to reach out to them.
Well, no, he's gonna be trying real hard to reach out to his base real soon. No doubt about that. In some form. But what I'm saying is that. It's sardonic, but I was laughing. I'm like, do you realize we've had 8 days in a row of the falling market? And today it fell 300 points practically. Hello, what's the problem? You know, where's the recovery? There ain't no recovery. Because now they're gonna pull more demand and more money from the economy. Where's the private sector? Where's the jobs? Where are the jobs? These fools are now talking about, oh, we need to pivot to jobs. Their idea of pivoting to jobs is talking about fucking free trade agreements with Korea and whoever else. It's just like, really? It's so out of control.
They're not in the same world, Sandra.
No, but Obama is tripping because he's going to be in so much trouble because trust and believe come October 2012, ain't nobody going to be thinking about this debt deal. We don't care about the debt 21 years from now, do you?
No.
Give a fuck. And it's just kind of like, I am just sort of stunned by the immaturity politically of this White House. Dude, you guys are, I mean, it's a huge mistake. You got Boehner talking about, oh, we got 98% of what we wanted. I mean, what the hell does that look like?
It looks like a loss to me. It sure feels like one.
Painful to hear the spin. It's just, you know, I'm cringing at this point now with Obama.
Well, that's why White House advisor Stephanie Cutter yesterday on MSNBC made me so crazy, Sandra. You know, I'm hoping that both sides have learned from this.
They're what are they, whistling past the grave here. It's just sort of, you know, I don't want to say, I'm not going to make any predictions that he's going to lose, but he better turn his ass to his friends on Wall Street. Big time or something, because I'm not too sure where his support is going to come from, because if he thinks that protecting the oligarchy and going on his road to austerity and contracting the economy on purpose is going to win him what? Because what it does is get us in a double dip recession. When you have recession, you lose more tax revenue, hence even a bigger deficit. I mean, it doesn't take rocket science.
No.
I'm not an economist up in here, and I can figure that out. It's not even Keynesian so much that I'm talking about as just common sense. If your private sector is not producing, where are you going to get the demand to run a market, I repeat, market-based economy? Where's it going to come from?
And I don't think there's a viable answer to it. China? You know,
because
made China happy because we... Right.
Well, I mean, I don't mean to sound... I know I sound a bit agitated, but I'm just sort of beyond with all this because it's just stupidity now. You know, if you want to, you know, screw over working people and that's your ideology, oh, I guess that's what it is, but do we have to take the whole country down with us?
Well, Sandra, it's like, I mean, I was struck by a couple of things last night, as I noted. One of them being that it turns out that the Democrats were the ones who were actually the grown-ups in the room, even though, you know, we got sold down the river. It was for ostensibly laudable goals of not having everything go to shit right now, although it appears to be going that way anyway. But the second thing that struck me is this conclusion that it's almost impossible not to reach about Obama, where you're down to two choices now. We are. One, he is inept and is really, really not capable of dealing with these thugs on the other side, or, you know, just personally, constitutionally opposed to conflict.
Well,
or
yeah,
two,
because...
or two, he's one of them. And has been all along.
Well, I know, and we need to, at least I'm really going to try. It's difficult because I'm just sort of like, what the hell? But we really need to, I guess, shift away and look at the mess that is mass left politics, actually. If we want to look at our side, unions are at 6%. There's no peace movement. And there's no real job movement of visibility. You see what I'm saying? So... I need to turn my attention away from this neoliberal because I'm kind of done. I'm like, yikes, wow, that was a mistake. But we need to look at what the hell we got going on the left here, which ain't a whole fuck of a lot. Because the institutions that we are normally have to create social movements, they've been decimated.
Well, I mean, you know, Progressive Democrats of America put out that urgent call to its, you know, million-person, multi-million-person email list yesterday, Sandra, saying, please call your representative and tell them to vote no. Now, 96 members of the Democratic caucus in the House heeded that call. And, you know, including Barney Frank.
Well, no, yeah, and my... And,
but that, well, but 96 out of what? Because there were 50, I mean, there were 50-some-odd, I can't remember, who voted for it. And it was just...
No, I saw that.
You know, it was just enough to push it over as compared to the teabaggers. And remember, those freshman teabaggers, you know, you and I both know the political reality inside the House and the Senate. It's called a whip count. And so once they know they've got sufficient numbers, the majority whip... it quietly goes to the ones that say, listen, okay, I know you got to vote no, so, you know, okay.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And that's what that was.
No, it was because, you know, you saw when they went over and, you know, I mean, I know my congressperson voted no, you know, but they made that big deal of that woman who got shot, but she voted yes for it. I mean, whatever.
Well, and Ed in the chat room was pointing out at the beginning of the show, that may have been the biggest, sorriest piece of political theater to come along since Bush landed on the aircraft carrier.
Yeah, no. It was. I was like, you know, cringe is the word for the day. I was like, oh dear God, this is just. I mean, it's completely disgusting. And I really need to quickly move to the most scariest aspect of it is this Politburo, this undemocratic bullshit that they're going to appoint 12 people with just. You just need a simple majority to completely eviscerate what's left of the New Deal. Mark my word, this is some horrible shit.
Yeah, like what? Maybe Dennis Kucinich and Bernie Sanders and 10 free marketeers. So, well, see, you got your progressives on there. They just couldn't win their argument.
No, you don't even. I don't even think it's going to. I think it's going to be people like that horrible Mark Warner, who all these people who professed in their careers at some point that they wanted to cut Social Security. Watch, they have 14 days or something or whatever. 45 days to get this thing up and running, and this is the worst part.
And they just adjourned.
That's even more disturbing. But this committee. You realize that whatever they come up with won't be able to be amended or anything once it gets into the, what can we call them now? What was that body that was outside of the Senate in the Roman days, were the tribunes? That whole body, that's what we got going here, you understand? You see this?
Yeah, well, it's certainly extra-constitutional, and, you know, one question arises for me is, is anybody out there going to challenge the legality of this?
Well, that's what I'm saying. But what's really disturbing, though, is on the spending side, when they bring that shit down to the rest of the Congress, you have to either vote yes or no. But guess what? Anything that's revenue-derived, oh, all of a sudden it can be amended and handled as if it's a regular bill. So there is not going to be any more taxes on the rich either. I mean, the whole thing is disturbing because...
And what happens? I mean, what happens? What's that trigger mechanism? What goes down
if
the teabaggers do their teabagging thing?
Right.
So
across the board.
And so suddenly all those so-called protective mechanisms that allegedly shielded Medicare and shielded Medicaid and shielded
right.
Social Security, they're gone.
Well, Social Security is still shielded to a certain extent. But Medicare, which one is the one that helps people without access?
Medicaid.
Regardless of age.
Medicaid.
Medicaid is definitely in the crosshairs, for sure, and Medicare has some portion of it that can be cut. Listen, this is this is such a nightmare. I can't even believe it. And Obama has the nerve to say it was a wholly manufactured crisis. How, if I may invoke Clinton, how dare you? Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's an insult, and he's, you know, I'm sorry. It's just at this point, Obama's bordering on pathetic, because it's like you lost everything, man. You got nothing from this.
No.
And you control the executive and the Senate, and this is the best we can do? Unbelievable. Absolutely stunning. Yikes, okay?
And by the way, Andy, on Redwood City offering, noting Gabrielle Giffords is a DLC Rahm Emanuel Democrat. That's her job, to support the DLC. Good old Gabby used to work on Wall Street. She's got her DLC, her third-way mind, calibrated towards the right wing.
Yeah, no. I gathered that when she, you know, stumbled on in to vote. Sorry. But I'm like, dude, you know, you could have just stayed home for that one. Shit. I don't know. I don't even know what to... All I know is that the market, the blessed market, don't seem to be responding so well.
Well, you know, you can only shuffle money for so long, right? Sooner or later,
yeah,
you know, I mean, that goofy-ass video about Milton Friedman mentioned, you know, the partnership of capital and labor. Well, if ain't nobody working, there's no labor, right?
And so
sooner or later, these chickens do have to come home to roost, don't they?
Yeah, no, it's bad, because not only did you have the sort of, you know, that stock market business going on, but, you know, Spain and Italy, the spreads are, like, widening to a point where it's unsustainable. So, you know, that little patch they put on in Europe is not going to hold up. This shit is really nasty.
Well, was it Krugman who pointed out that Europe's problems are graver in terms of having a currency with no structure around it? Whereas our problems, our dysfunction, our organic failure is more profound from the insolubility of it. You know, theoretically, Europe might be able somehow or another to solve its monetary issues surrounding that currency. But the problems we have here in the United States, Sandra, are so organic and so clean to the bone that I'm not trying to be Mr. Negative Guy. I don't see a way out.
Well, I mean, you certainly don't see a way out with this pro-secular type of response. You know, it's sort of like, you know, it's stunning to me. And, you know, the governors are kind of freaking out. They're like, this isn't good.
I mean, is it okay to refer to the current governmental stance as Hoover-esque?
Well, I think it's almost an insult to Hoover, because, like I said before, Hoover did try to institute some programs to alleviate the suffering. They just didn't work. You understand what I'm saying? But I don't even see nothing. They have completely stopped. There is no extension for the payroll tax if they want to go that route. The extension for the unemployment, I told you, I wrote that thing to you. I said, that is the next hostage taking, because that ends on January 3rd, 2012. Now, we may be in full-blown recession then. Are they gonna, you know, I don't know if unemployment automatically starts up again, if it's actually in recession or what's gonna happen, but, you know, because he didn't get 2 years, he only got one, we might have to reduce
that. So that rolls around in January, right?
Right. And I have to add, right now, these bitches said, oh, we're going on vacation now. The government is losing $200 million in revenue a week from this FAA bullshit. Do you know about this story?
Oh, yes, I do. I mean, that was where I was going next.
They went away. So these people are people, Horn family especially, don't fly for the next 30 days. I'm serious up here, Bob.
No, I'm on the ground. I'm right here. You could not coax me onto. You couldn't dangle a bottle of 75-year-old scotch and haul it up the gangway and get me onto an airplane right now.
No, I'm sorry, man. If shit starts dropping out from the sky, you know, we will know why. And I hate to say that.
And these are, you know, and it's construction workers that are out of this too, because there are all kinds of construction projects, you know, keeping the runways smooth and that kind of crazy stuff. And
but, you know, these,
you're not even safe when you're on the ground, because whack-a-da, and the next thing you know, the landing gear's shot.
And not only that, but you know, some of these poor people who are dedicated because they're scared of shit falling out of the sky, they're working for free and putting expenses on credit cards, you know, with the hopes that, of course, they'll be reimbursed. Now, these are the horrible public workers, the dreaded public workers, who are fucking working for free because, oh, my God, they don't want airplanes falling out the sky.
And, I mean, you want to know, I mean, this is an oh, my God example, Sandra, of how bad it is.
No, this is...
Senator K. Bailey Hutchinson. Hutchison, no N in there. Senator K. Bailey Hutchinson, who is as right-wing as the day is long, was forced, I mean, not forced, but I mean, her conscience couldn't stand it. She denounced it. She denounced the House taking a powder. She said, we're getting ready to leave for a month. We should not shut down the FAA because of a rider put on the extension of the FAA legislation that has not been negotiated. I read this earlier, Sandra, and just went, because this is Kay Bailey Hutchison.
Yeah, no,
she says, it is not honorable for the House to send an extraneous amendment on a funding extension.
No, this story here is, it's big, and it's going to be huger if some sort of airline catastrophe happens, because it's incredible. The other thing that's also incredible about this story is that, oh, well, your ticket prices should go down 7.5%. Oh, well.
Yeah, and your chances of getting to the ground safely are going down about 75%, too, right?
No, but your ticket prices did not go down 7.5%. They were put back up, and the airlines are taking that money, which should be going to the government. Do you understand
right.
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's so disgusting. I'm just like, hello?
And by the way, last night, Senator Jay Rockefeller, my senator, well...
He was freaking out too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was flipping out. He tried to get a clean bill through the Senate by unanimous consent.
Mm.
Guess who was there to stop it?
Who?
Senator Orrin Hatch.
Well, listen, I'm sorry, I don't know, I think these people, I don't know what's going on with the mine, if there's some sort of weird shit in the water, but what the hell are they going to do if some tragedy happens? I'm so confused, because...
Well, they're insulated, they're protected, and nobody, there's not enough people on any given airplane to start a real pitchforks and torches march.
No, I'm not saying that, but, you know, we are talking about a possibility of, you know, some missed safety issues, because... I'm already scared when I was flying when they deregulated the airlines, and I've been scared ever since. But now, there ain't no way in hell you can give me a free ticket to Monte Carlo and my ass is still staying here, all right?
Yeah.
Not going.
No, and
go.
And the thing, you know, these are FAA inspectors.
Yes, I'm saying.
You know, these are people who check the work of the airline.
Right.
You know,
they're still trying to work for free, some of them. But, you know, it's horrible. It's just because it's some union issue. And apparently the savings initially for them not doing this sort of unionization would have been like $18 million. Now, we've already lost $200 million.
But, again, so, we're not talking about creating a closed shop. This is a bunch of godforsaken right-wingers trying to strip people of the ability to join a union by their own free choice. In other words, you know, compulsory non-unionism.
Right. No. I mean, but the thing is, this is a horrible story, and it's just a blazing example of, you know, beyond how messed up the governance is right now. And the fact that this story isn't being pounded daily by the mainstream media, you know, it's just, it's despicable.
No, but by God, if something falls out of the sky, like Team Action News reporting that, because, you know, once it starts bleeding, it starts leading.
Well, no, but in the meanwhile, we got to hear about that baby killer's safe house or whatever the fuck they talk about every night.
Oh, God. Don't you just want to run screaming some nights?
Oh, God. Yeah, no, but, you know, I almost spit out what I was drinking when you were talking. We had that woman talking on Fox, because it's like, these people, they so scared of getting fucked. And she knows that's what she wants 20 times a day. Stop lying. That's what all their problems is. They all want to get done, and they so freaked out about wanting it, you know, they're trying to destroy the rest of ours fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because you know Sandy Rios has got her a little foot-long hunk of broom handle with some barbed wire in it. She's just whipping herself. I shall not get excited.
Right.
I shall not. Ow! You know.
No, but that's
ooh, I like
problem.
That, too. Yeah.
That's the whole problem with all those people. You know, they all sort of begrudge anybody who has, like, a normal sort of sex drive. It's like something, you know, you should be, like, punished for it. At the same time, they all want it, you know. Those are horrible people. Those people who are sexually repressed, they're really frightening.
Right, and the Freud stuff just sort of bubbles to the surface, whether they want you, because she couldn't get, I mean, remember when Marcus Bachmann, you know, the Eighth Village person, remember when Marcus Bachmann said that, you know, gay people need discipline?
Oh, God, you know, it's a parody, it's a joke.
And here's this the unbuttoned attack blonde, talking about they're not having sex with restraint.
Oh, I know. That's why I was laughing in my head. I'm like, restraint? Yeah, we know what's going on in your dumb head. And the poor woman she was talking to, she was black?
Yeah.
She was talking about her ancestors and descendants and everything else having sex, wasn't she?
Oh, just all, yeah,
out of control.
Can't stop them. That's all they do. It's all that.
Getting all over the place. You know, I know she was having the vapors on that shit. Give me a break.
You know, it's funny you would use that phrase because you know, I can just see, you know, because I can see Sandy Rios just fanning herself, you know, wishing she had a hoop skirt on you. I'm getting the vapors here.
You know, listen, it is sort of the worst stereotype of sort of white women for me hearing that shit. I'm like, damn, bitch, you know you want to be turned over, you know?
Sunny side down, baby, sunny side down.
And you know, I had to go crude on that, but God damn it, these people are so disturbing with their sexual issues, you know? Can't deal.
Well, I mean, you know, look how the right wing men are behaving. You got David Vitter in diapers and Marcus Bachmann up there doing a number from Chorus Line.
Right. No, no.
So, you know, she probably can't.
Ugh. You know. Yeah, anyway, you know, that was killing me. That's sort of a very funny distraction from the madness.
But as crazy as it may seem, it's the same. The point I was trying to make is it's the same thing, Sandra. I mean, the same mind that conceives of this economic madness.
Yeah, right.
Are the same minds that think of the world in these terms. And when you just sit down long, you know, get the popcorn out and start thinking about a mind that has those kind of stuff running through it, you know, I guess we're just lucky that they're not out there kidnapping children.
Oh, God. No, but it's just, anyway, listen, I have to ask you, did you happen to, this is a bit esoteric, but did you happen to read, there was an amazing op-ed written by somebody from Princeton, putting an antebellum myth about slave families to rest?
Yes, I did.
Damn, that was on hit. I was like, speaking. I said, damn, sent that to God knows who knows on my little list, because I was thinking, fantastic. That person broke it down like there was no tomorrow.
Yeah, well, yeah, because... especially when you're in the South, you have to deal. Well, you know, they were much better off when they were living on the plantation after, instead of being thrust out into the cruel, cruel world. They were getting fed here, and many slaves were very much loved and considered to be nearly a part of the family.
Yeah, you back in my Phyllis Wheatley, okay?
Yeah.
you know,
the part of the family that only comes in through the back door.
No, but it was just a really well-done op-ed that just sort of clarified it real succinctly and simply for these morons out here who seem to romanticize, well, we know, the antebellum, the fact that this country band uses the word. It's like, good Lord.
Oh, God, I'll never forget that night. I'm drunk and I'm missing you. Yeah. Oh, see, I sang again, damn it.
No, I know, but I just...
Right,
anyway.
But, you know, it's that and the myth of the lost cause. I'll have to find it and send it to you. There is an article that News Ninja Gene sent me last weekend that I just... I read it and was just going, what? And I guess it came from Salon, and it was this essay about how closely guarded the personal papers of Mr. and Mrs. Robert E. Lee are.
I saw that, too. I didn't get a chance to read it, but I was going to, and I forgot. Oh, what's that about?
Oh, you can't get access. There are certain letters of Mary Custis that they won't let out, and, you know, God only...
The family.
I mean, Robert E. Lee's descendants are still on the planet.
I know, but I wonder what's, you know, so of course, what's in them?
Well, they donated the papers to the Virginia Historical Society and gave them one quarter title to them. That's a little bit less than three-fifths. But gave them one quarter of the title to it under the with the understanding that they could retain that partial title, and the family's got the other three quarters. They could retain that partial title as long as they made sure that nobody saw the papers.
Okay, I don't, not even, there's no kind of Mark Twain clause in it or nothing?
Uh-uh.
It's forever?
Yeah, I mean, the guy who wrote the thing talked about how, you know, because there's a Ulysses Grant Papers Project, there's a Jefferson Davis Papers Project, you know, Abraham Lincoln, on and on and on. And he said at one point in his career, he contemplated having a Robert E. Lee Papers Project. And so he got in touch with, you know, Robert E. Lee's great-great-granddaughter, you know, who's probably sitting around, you know, snorting snuff off the backside of her thumb and, you know, that kind of shit. And she got back to him, or he finally, she didn't answer his letter, and then, you know, him not understanding, he's probably a Yankee, you know, he called her up on the phone. She said, you need to understand that those papers will never see the light of day. Good day, sir.
Listen.
And I mean, it's probably just dull as dishwater, but it makes you wonder what old Bobby was up to. Dear Bobby, I found out what you was doing with, you know.
Maybe he was having flourishes with the wrong people.
Right, yeah.
One too many flourish, you know what I'm saying?
You know, there's a little boy running around on the grounds here, Bobby, look a lot like you, only darker.
Oh, see, I mean, that's crazy because, see, he's, you know, a sort of historical figure. What's up with that?
Well, no, that's the thing that they point out in this, guy points out in the piece, is that he refers to him repeatedly, because I guess this is Bobby Lee's nickname, the Marble Man. He's not allowed to be seen as human because he is some sort of iconic figure for the Lost Cause South.
Okay, so this is more sort of penance for beating ass, is it?
I guess. It's got a sort of air of, I don't know, pre-collapse Soviet, Soviet leadership. Oh, no, he's very much alive, really, really, there in that glass case with all the air out of it. No, he's feeling.
Well, I guess it fits in with what I was, with Yeltsin's Duma, which is, you know, this country is rapidly looking like, you know, 91 Soviet Union. Oh, my God.
But as you look at all of it, and that's part of this whole, you know, is this a collapse, and, you know, is this what it looks like? Thing that I'm going through here is that with
when you live in a country that can't deal with its own history, you've got problems. You know,
big
for
problems.
Instance, in this Robert E. Lee article, they point out to the fact that, you know, one of the multi great grandsons is a lawyer in New York, and he's edited some of the letters, but he did it selectively, and they're not giving academics access to it. When you know, when you've got to guard your history instead of studying it.
Yeah, that's a giveaway already. Yeah, you're right.
And it,
Maybe they can turn it over to Bachman. I'm sure.
You know, I just wonder if there's a, you know, dear General Forrest, it was a pleasure leading you in our glorious attempt in the lost cause, and I just want to let you know that I cannot be at your little clavern meeting next weekend, but Lordy, I sure would love to. Yours affectionately, Robert E. Lee. You know, is one of those in there?
Yeah, I don't, you know, who knows? I mean, it is a bit of a mystery. Listen, I guess I'll sign off, but I must end. This has not been a very happy call, but did you hear about this fatal radiation level? So high that the instrument that measured it went off of that. Did you hear about this?
No, burned up the instrument.
Okay. This is at the Fukushima. They found radiation pockets, lethal dosage now, the highest ever since this shit began.
Jesus.
It's just, I mean, it's just out of control still. I mean, this is like deadly to workers now.
Well, thank God we've got stories to divert us from it here in America, right?
I guess.
But I want, you know, and I will, I'll rely on the expertise of our good buddy Robert in Kitakyushu. But yeah, I wonder if it's still being covered over there.
Well,
or if it's just being covered up.
No, I think that because, you know, I read an article where the, you know, a lot of citizens in Japan are now getting their own Geiger counters or whatever they call it now. It starts with a D. I can't remember what it's, some sort of meter, but they don't trust the government reading anymore, and you have this surge of people using it to get their own readings, and the radiation seems to be kind of overtaking all over northern Japan, including Tokyo. So it's just going. I mean, I think I don't know how long does it take for these horrible cancers to show up. Like what, 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, in that range.
And if it's as bad as it looks like, you know, I don't really know what we're all facing.
Time to be building some hospitals in Tokyo, some more hospitals in Japan, maybe.
Well, they might do that there. But what about here? Here in California?
Well, no, no.
Yeah, we don't give a hell about that. Hey, what did you think of that nasty-ass, what's that tall running wide receiver going to the Jets?
Oh, was it? No, Ocho Cinco's going to the Pats.
No, not Ocho. No, I quite like him.
Yeah, I like him, yeah.
The guy who shot himself, that idiot. God, why can't
yeah, started with the Steelers, right?
Whatever. Yes, he's the one that caught the, you know, he for the Giants in the Super
yeah.
Bowl. He was yeah. Anyway, he's playing for the Jets, and I think Chad is at New England. That was a good move.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a, you know, because the Belichick's a thug, but you know what?
He can work it, and also Brady seems to have some sort of. I'm not a big fan, but he seems to be able to run his team, so, well, you know.
No, that's going to be a nice target for Tom Brady.
Yeah, no, it's going to be. I didn't realize that he was so tall. He's a giant.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of any other. I haven't been able to pay too much attention to football, but I know that it's accelerated with all the different moves. I mean, is Michael Vick the sole quarterback now? Is that the latest?
Yeah.
Because they traded that one guy to Arizona, didn't they?
I thought.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Wait a minute. Went from Washington? Was it to Arizona?
Yeah, I think he. Cobb. He's at Arizona now, ain't he?
Yeah, I think so. Because I saw one of those trades coming out of D.C. and I'm like, what?
Well, McNabb. Went
yeah,
to the
yeah.
Vikings.
McNabb went to the Vikings.
Yeah, which is where he wanted to go because that system there fits him. I mean, I thought McNabb. He really. Got sort of a bad run.
Oh, he got a raw. He's gotten a
from the beginning of his career, really.
Yeah. I mean, when you're the poster child for
Rush Limbaugh's racism.
Oh, that's that's right. There is that too.
Yeah.
We'll see how he does at the Vikings. Although the Vikings are kind of hit and miss, man. I don't really know how they'll perform.
Yeah, they just can't seem to pull it together. You know, you've got that awe inspiring running back. Adrian Peterson.
He's a bit of a dropsy though, but I hear what you're saying.
That's what I mean. He's inconsistent. You know, one day he looks like Jim Brown, and the next day he looks like Jim Nabors. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's talented though, and they also have what's his face with his headaches.
Mm.
Harvey Person? No, what's his name? Anyway, he has migraines. That kid.
Yeah.
He's another talented player for the Vikings, but I think the Packers, they look hella strong.
No, they just look reloaded.
It looks ridiculous. And then another team that's looking, mark my words, Detroit, they look like they might do pretty good.
It would do my heart so good.
They look strong.
I mean, the town, the state, the franchise, yeah, they all need a successful Lions.
Finally, if they could get even just a 10-6 season, I just think that they have a bit of potential from what.
Yeah, go in and bow out in the wild card, and that's a Super Bowl compared to what they've had. That's a Super Bowl season.
No, but the only other team that is looking pretty good, which of course you know I hate, is fucking Dallas. They look like they might be pretty strong this year.
No, I'm looking for Jerry Jones's magic to take over at some point.
That'd be like about what, 4 games into the season?
Yeah, I mean they'll come out, they'll win, you know, they'll win the 6 out of 9 or something like that, and then the collapse will be on.
Mm. Well, I guess, you know, but come on now, yeah, Jerry Jones, it is comedy relief though. Come on.
Yeah, well, yeah. Now that Al Davis is kind of out of the picture and not, yeah, Jerry watching Jerry Jones have a hissy. That's my stress relief on any given Sunday. I just want to watch Jerry Jones be unhappy.
No, but the Raiders also is another team that's looking reasonable. I'm holding my breath. Okay, of course.
Right. Have you seen any Tebow reports out there out of Denver or anything?
Oh, he's third string. That bitch ain't. I mean, that fool ain't playing.
Damn.
He you know, I don't think so. My eyes are still burning from that hairdo.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Just horrible. He's hideous. He's hideous. You know, and I don't think he's gonna be getting too much action. I don't know.
Oh, by the way, Percy Harvin is who we were talking.
Percy. That's,
yeah.
That's right.
And Plaxico
right.
Burress.
Plaxico, God.
Yeah.
No, the reason why I said nasty about him, because I read a report that apparently he kept his cell. It was a completely filthy pigsty.
Nice.
I know. I was like, ew.
See, Plaxico played at Michigan State, and he was like the first-round draft choice of the Steelers.
Oh, okay.
And I couldn't bring the name, but I could make the trail back to the... Because the first pass he ever caught for the Steelers was a nice long gain, and
okay,
early in the season, so Plaxico catches the ball, nobody anywhere near him, falls down on the ground, gets up, spikes the ball, and walks back to the huddle. At which point, the opposing team picked up the ball and went somewhere with it.
Oh, shit. Wow. So he's like the Chris Webber of football.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. I actually quite like Chris.
I mean, that's, you know, but that, you know, I mean, that's a rookie mistake, but it was a moment. It really was, because he was so proud of himself, you know.
Right.
And he was in the NFL, and he could show off a little bit without getting an unsportsmanlike thrown on him. Yeah, I did that. And gets
up.
And you know, hey, look, there's a ball laying there.
Well, listen, maybe you can shed some light on this. What's up with that a-hole Mike Brown and the Carson Palmer thing? Why don't he just let fool go? I mean, that man is evil.
No, just hateful. Just
terrible.
Hateful.
Like, and I'm thinking, you know, Roger Goodell, he need to take his happy ass out there and sort that out, because Carson, you don't have too many premier quarterbacks. He's going to let that fool not play because of this asshole owner? Come on. It's
well, but you know, the owners in the NFL and God knows in Major League Baseball suffer from a terminal case of somebody stop me before I do stupid things again.
Well, hence the whole lockout.
Yeah.
They really thought it was going to be something different than what it turned out to be. But anyway, we already rehashed that. But no, I don't understand. I mean, Carson, I know he signed, you know, all that sort of BS, but don't give me this contracts are sacred bullshit in football.
No, please.
Give me a damn break, okay?
No, I'm...
Let this boy go, you know?
Yeah, he wants out. Get him out. Right.
Get him out. Oh, I don't know. I just was sort of like thinking,
was it Ocho Cinco that pushed it over the top there?
No, they wouldn't let him go either.
Yeah.
They did the same thing to him.
And see, it's
incredible.
There's something about that city. You know, there's just, because, you know, Marge shot in baseball. Yeah.
Oh, no. God damn it. I forgot about her. Terrible. Oh, listen, the battery's going on this phone.
All right. See you, Sandra.
Bye.
Take care. Bye now. Sandra calling from California. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Sandra is hard to beat. I hope she's wrong about the Raiders. I hope you're right about Dallas.
Yeah.
Michael in Sebastopol.
Hey, Michael. Good to hear from you, man.
Dallas, and I hate the Raiders, but used to be a Raiders fan. I'm very much disappointed.
Well, there was a lot of turnover in the fan base between Oakland to L.A.
Yeah.
to Oakland.
I grew up in L.A., and he was the only one that could make the Coliseum Commission look good, Al Davis was. I'll give him that. Miserable prick. Anyhow, the editorial from somebody from Princeton that Sandra was talking about. What was that? I'm sorry, I missed it because I was reading an email.
It was demythologizing pre-Civil War black families. Okay. And it was, I saw it sort of by accident because I got I got my little New York Times news alert today telling me that the stock market had gone in the tank.
Yeah.
But I went to look at it, and it was among the most read or most emailed pieces on the website or most popular on Facebook. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks. I'll check that out. I thought that was amazing. That response to that crazy pledge that Santorum and
American black children had a better chance under slavery.
Yeah. Well, those happy days. Yeah. back. The old home, whatever.
Yeah, the old folks at home. Way down. See, that's three. See what you did to me. Yeah.
Stephen Foster for that. Yeah,
that's him.
And the Economic Policy Institute, now they said 1.8 million jobs in 1 year as a consequence. And they, this morning, as I understand it, and they had a bunch of formulas for, you know, you cut this and multiply it by 1.6 and so on, and it seemed like a fairly straightforward formula that's probably taught at universities all over this great country of ours. Why wasn't that on the president's lips every single time one of these bastards proposed cutting 4.2 or 4.1 or 3.9 or whatever the hell it was? And why weren't reporters saying, you know, well, this will cost 2 million jobs a year, 1.9 million jobs a year, and so on and so forth? I don't understand that at all.
And again, that kind of goes back to what I said to Sandra, Michael, because we have to answer some questions now. Is he just unable to stand up to these horrible America despising creatures, or does he kind of agree with them? You know, and that goes back to that Washington Post article that came from January the 16th, 2009. You know, Obama plans to reform entitlements.
Yeah.
You know, really, really? I mean, is there
that's
anybody...
another word. That's for Sandra's list, reform.
No.
Which inevitably means cut the hell out of it. Don't...
Reform means destroy.
Yeah, reform, at least cut. And, yeah, reform...
Sometimes it means screw, because I remember when they reformed the bankruptcy code, Michael. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And it all it meant was that unsecured debt in the form of credit cards.
You're screwed.
Yeah, unsecured debt became somehow miraculously secured, and you couldn't get free of it in a bankruptcy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for that reform, guys.
Yeah, I loathe that word. I think Ralph Nader probably put it in the public vocabulary 40 or 50 years ago, and it has been turned into a curse now.
Well, it's been made a mirror image or a sort of reverse image of itself. It doesn't mean what
reform usually implies.
Right, yeah.
Let's reform the FDA. Let's get rid of...
Yeah, that means let's get rid of all the inspectors. Let's reform
the regulators.
Right, let's reform the USDA. Let's make sure that more downer cattle go into more Denny, more beef stew.
Mm-hmm. So we don't have to import it all the way from China.
Yeah. Jesus. Doesn't it just make your head feel like it's going to explode sometimes, Michael? Oh, by the way, the formal title of that article is Putting an Antebellum Myth to Rest, and it's by Tara W. Hunter.
Okay.
And basically, was slavery an idyllic world of stable families headed by married parents? The recent controversy over the marriage vow, a document endorsed by the Republican, yada, 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 says the assertion about African American babies born after the election at first were more in danger than you know. She writes, that was not a harmless gaffe. It represents a resurfacing of a pro-slavery view of family values that was prevalent in the decades before the Civil War.
Now, my mother was from Texas, and she used to tell me as a child how happy they were until they had to go fend for themselves.
Just sitting back there in their little slave cabins playing the banjo or a gourd rattle or something. Yeah, right.
You know her.
No, I just happened, yeah.
Sitting in the shade all day.
Yeah.
White man's burden.
Yeah, I just happened to get the same stories down home in Alabama.
Alabama, yeah. Well, let's see, what else? Joe Badgen. Talking about things that piss me off about the media in this country. He's going to have a book, or his estate is going to publish a book of his essays from his website.
I saw that on the website, yeah.
And according to his website, this is going to be published by the same outfit in Australia that did Rainbow Pie. And that is a disgrace, because the people that did Deer Hunting with Jesus, the copy I have is the seventh printing in soft cover. It's a Random House imprint, and they've got deep pockets, and they made a pretty penny on that book. I can't understand why they didn't do Rainbow Pie with Greg Lee and the essays 10 years ago. And it's a disgrace. And I used to own a little publishing company. It's now dormant. But it's a terrible, terrible thing to watch information.
Yeah, well, and the fact that Joe was more highly regarded in Australia speaks well of the Australian readership.
There's that. Okay, well, it should have come out in America first and been published simultaneously in Britain, Europe, and
right. But no, he had Joe would pack rooms in Europe and Australia, and he couldn't. He had to struggle. He had to struggle to get any attention here in the United States, because there's that old saying, Michael, that a prophet is never welcome in his own land.
Okay.
And I think that to a certain extent that applies to Joe, because Joe was telling truths about American people that, now, if he had done it strictly as from the standpoint of, you dirty bastard right-wing Republicans, well, he would have gotten a lot of play on our side of the street. Or if it had been, those evil liberals who were destroyed, God knows the right wing would have made him a billionaire.
Oh, sure.
But because Joe took a look at a segment of the American populace that it is not deemed appropriate to talk about, to wit, the white underclass. And it's real. I mean, we can just all say it together. White underclass. It really, really exists. And to sit there and put it to paper and make it big and real easy to comprehend made
you know, like I said, left, right, you know, somebody will get on board. But when you, when you're talking truths like that, it makes everybody uncomfortable.
I love the example he makes of the a real estate outfit. I think it's a Deer Hunting in America, proudly in New York State somewhere, mentioning that their county has the smallest black population.
Yeah,
he said you couldn't do that in Virginia, and that sort of thing. And I can imagine why that would piss somebody from Virginia or West Virginia or Kentucky.
Well,
or,
but you know, consider the assaults that he makes in Rainbow Pie. You know, in talking about the way that our side, and I've been guilty of it, and I are a redneck, you know, but the elitist attitudes that we maintain, because, you know, he talks about how we say, well, you know, those teabaggers and those rednecks, they don't like the black people. And then Joe says, well, the fact of the matter is, I can't go somewhere without seeing a little white redneck family with a little mixed race baby in the high chair. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem to be no, you can't pin that on the rednecks.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can pin it on their leadership, but you know, Honeychild is not staying out of bed with the Old Spice guy.
I don't get the joke. I'm sorry. I don't pay enough attention to television. The Old Spice guy.
No, he's this exquisite black man who did this magnificent commercial. And he's just, I mean, he's beautiful. He's just a handsome guy. And
mad.
And well, right. And I'm sure. Maybe there's TV stations in the South that won't even air that ad. Well, that's going to pervert our white women's.
Oh, YouTube will have it. Okay.
Yeah, just look up Old Spice guy.
Old Spice dude. Okay.
Yeah,
that's cool. Now the other
and they're
thing
great, and the first one especially was just a great ad.
Okay, I'll look that up. Okay, I'm learning more about culture every day from listening to you. All sorts of interesting things. For example, you were talking about that lunatic woman on Fox talking about birth control and contraception and so forth, and. You know so much, you're such an erudite fellow, that redneck hardly applies, but how do you know, I'm an hour away from San Francisco, how do you know so much about exchange sex? I may be so bold as to ask. Is it a hobby? Does Agnes know about
that? Right, now see, yeah, I knew, you're just going to try to get me in trouble.
Yeah, right. We were saving the best for last. Yeah. Well, go ahead. You can explain it off the air.
Let's see. There was a back when I had a cup of coffee in law school.
well, there you go. Blame law school.
You're right. You know, you read all these cases. And you know, usually when you go into the law library, there's little post-it notes on the ones with the really good ones.
Oh, okay.
But I remember sitting in...
a great hobby. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it kept me off the streets. I remember one day sitting in one class and my buddy's sitting next to me and this beautiful woman, and you know, okay, I'm probably going to get the Bob, you sexist emails. No, she was, oh my God, she was beautiful.
Oh, I.
And wore the you know, like the 4-inch stiletto heeled pumps, you know, candy apple red to class with the fishnet stockings and the skirt up to there, and I mean, my, and she was walking and always sat down front. So she's walking by one day, and my buddy looks at me and says, just kind of makes you want to look at her and say, honey, put a tennis ball in my mouth and duct tape it. And he's sitting there going, oh. So that's how I learned about that.
Okay. Now, how did you do? Did you wind up being a lawyer?
I got my degree. I got my degree. It's not...
I don't care about you.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. You didn't practice.
No.
Now my father got a law degree and did, and whenever anybody would ask him thinking about going to law school, he would say, "Get out while you can if you're in, and don't even think about it if you're not."
Well, yeah, I've got people.
It was better as you meet the most miserable people under the most unhappy circumstances.
And you get your mind, rewired. You know, there's nothing. There is nothing worse than sitting around a bunch of 3L law school students on cheap beer Thursday.
Because, you know, once they get that fourth or fifth beer in them, there are, you know, they start arguing the finer points of tort law or something. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Really, do you have to let them in here? I mean, I was as geeky as the best of them. You know, oh, well, you know, I heard the summation. That was just terrible. The Hadley versus Baxendale and the slaughterhouse cases, and you become this little walking encyclopedia of rights and duties, and that's what you see. Instead of seeing people, you see little agglomerations of rights and duties.
And instead of seeing a dead tree out in the front yard as an attractive nuisance.
Right, exactly.
How's Ferg, by the way?
He's better. He's better. He's up and moving around pretty good. He's still got a nasty bruise on his back, and I think his pride was rather severely wounded.
Well, that's better than it.
But it scared the hell out of us, Michael.
No, I'll bet. I bet he was down there winded and couldn't move and wondering what.
Oh, no, laying on the ground screaming, hollering about how he couldn't feel his face and his legs.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And, you know, at first, you know, Agnes looks at me and goes, let's get him in the truck. And no, honey, call the ambulance, really. I want backboards and head immobilization, and that's exactly what they did.
Oh, boy, that's a long day.
Oh, and the ambulance left with Agnes and the boy in it. I followed the ambulance in the rusty red pickup truck, and, you know, by myself. And that is a special kind of miserable hell, Michael.
I know.
Because at one point, they pulled over onto the side and turned off the lights. And I'm like, what? Oh. What?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've never followed an ambulance before. I think, you know, run the lights and put your foot through it. Right. But, you know, I ran it. What's the matter? What's the matter? What's the matter? And, oh, we're just getting some backup on board here. We do that with any trauma case. And so we waited. Another guy got on the, and then we just got out on the interstate. And it's in moments like that, Michael, that you understand that there are a lot of people in the United States of America who have no business with driver's licenses.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're in the left lane, right? And we are cooking. You know, we're doing a solid, you know, 75, 80 miles an hour.
With the siren?
No siren and no lights. But I've got my flashers on for God and everybody to see. And so, you know, some good old boy with a Friends of Coal sticker on his car, without even so much as a signal, hops over into the left lane, cuts me off, because he figures he's having his Dale Earnhardt Jr. NASCAR moment. He's going to draft on the ambulance. And God, I was not a well man in that truck that day. Because, I mean, I was saying all kinds of, I was using all the fun words. And especially, you know, with that Friends of Coal sticker on the back of that thing. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. No, extra motive.
Yeah. You know, just another entitled Fokker. Oh, look, I'm going to speed legally. Hot diggity.
Well, that's another argument against people having too many guns, too. I imagine if you'd been just a little bit crazier and a little more stupid.
Yeah, you got to lead him a little bit, Bob. You only winged him that time.
Yep. You know, crash into it, but yeah, no, that's, boy, that's, yeah, people are nuts, especially driving, I guess.
Oh, and of course, the hospital's in the middle of the worst speed trap in West Virginia, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm not going to be a well man if they pull me over, but then I started, Bob, calm down, breathe, Bob.
Yeah.
They have radios.
They'll
know. And so that didn't happen, so, yeah, because that would have been another, you know, Internet talk radio host arrested for blah, 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 you know.
And, using all the fun words.
Yeah, there would have been tasers and pepper spray would have been involved. Maybe, you know, shoot me now. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, good luck to all of you and get rid of that tree. It's an attractive nuisance.
It is an attractive Jesus. You guys. Yeah, it's actually on the way out. It's dead. Sadly.
Next time he climbs it, have him bring a chainsaw. That, what could go wrong?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, just start it from the, just take it from the top down.
Jesus. Yeah.
Michael, thank you very much. Have a good night.
You too. Take care.
Bye now. Bye. And going right back to the phones in a sec, catch up with a little bit of email real quick. Sandra gets the first ever 2X Toaster Award from David tonight for use of the word the vapors. followed by turned over. David in Tennessee writing, oh, shit, just kill me. also noted the Cowboys have serious cap issues, says David in Tennessee, our, among other things, a resident sports expert. They screwed. Shout out to Sandra from Mark. Plaxico Burress. And with regard to the Japan story that Sandra was talking about, Tim from L.A. says, to answer Sandra's question about my relative's homeland, ultra-high radiation levels reported at Japan's Fukushima plant. The radiation levels, 10,000 millisieverts per hour, are high enough that a single 60-minute dose would be fatal to humans within weeks. Tim adding, and my family live in Fukushima, too. We're thinking about you, Tim. Your family, you know. By the way, several updates coming from David in South Carolina. Noting that he said another Facebook friend noted that Pat Buchanan also used whipped to describe Obama. He knows full well the connotations of the word whipped in this context. The right wing must be feeling pretty cocky today in light of the disaster that is the debt ceiling deal. Pat Buchanan just referred to Obama as your boy and how Obama was whipped by Mitch McConnell. Man. But, you know, that's just cranky old Pat, right? Darlene noting, FYI, I ordered Rainbow Pie through Borders this weekend and was informed it is on back order, so I have to be patient and wait. Well, Darlene, you will be tickled to pieces when you finally do get it. It's an amazing, brilliant piece of memoir and social commentary all at the same time. We're going to take a little bit of a break here and then go back to the phones. A couple of lines open if you want to jump in, and we will try to get to every call there. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. It's been a long time since I've run the Green News Report because for some reason or another, the Green News Report kind of disappeared on me. But we will take a look at the Green News Report and then finish out with your phone calls. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn.
Betty was black and Willie was white. Betty and Willie got it on one time. Climbed in a bottle of Tanqueray. Fell in love that very day. They sat by the fire, listened to jazz, had pretty little dreams like every couple has. But they had to be careful when they went out at night, 'cause Betty was black and Willie was white. We'll be right back. pioneer, a boy's son, named him Ted. Dreamed of a year a little less bad, with Ted stand in a skin of brown, a valedictorian's cap and gown, and dream of a day when the future's bright, and you can be bright and be black and be bright and be white, and dream of a day when it's all right. The Betty was black and Willie was white.
It's Tuesday, August 2nd, 2011.
The ayes are 74 and the nays are 26. The motion to concur in the House amendment to Senate Bill 365 is agreed to.
The debt ceiling theater is over.
I expect the next president, whoever that is going to be asking us to raise the debt ceiling again in 2013. So we'll be doing it all over?
For now, with clean energy and environment as the biggest losers. It's official. Record heat wave makes for a record July. Don doesn't do Dallas. Tropical storm Dawn, that is. Plus,
who says the federal government has to have an EPA?
The most anti-environment Congress ever.
We didn't have an EPA until Jimmy Carter.
Republican Congressman Mike Rogers, we didn't have an EPA until Republican President Richard Nixon.
What's a political party between friends? All of that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
I'm optimistic and hopeful that the spirit of compromise that has taken root in Washington over the last several days will endure.
And with compromise like that, Senator Reid, who needs surrender? This is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, it's been a remarkable few days in the U.S. Congress. Who'd have thunk that this fake debt ceiling crisis would have come down to the very last second?
Oh, yes. Who could have known that they would push it to the deadline? It was quite the spectacle. We'll break down the fallout for environment, energy, public lands, and public health in a moment. But first, it's official. The month of July was a scorcher. The record heat wave of the last 2 weeks that is still lingering over parts of the Midwest broke or tied over 2,600 temperature records around the nation. It includes both high temperature records and record high overnight temperatures. Many, like in Austin, Texas, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and the entire state of Oklahoma, saw their hottest July on record ever. And it managed to exacerbate the drought that is already affecting most of the United States. Tropical Storm Dawn in the Gulf of Mexico failed to make a dent in that record drought. It's quite unusual for emergency management officials to hope for a hurricane, but that was the situation in Texas over the weekend, where 90% of the state is listed in severe drought conditions, the most intense drought since the Dust Bowl of the 1930s, as detailed by one reporter in Texas.
This entire state, almost every inch of it, locked in this devastating drought. Grasshoppers are swarming here, huge plumes of them. The rain helps check their population, but the drought has kept them thriving. This mountain lion, parched with thirst, caught looking for water in a downtown El Paso car wash.
Tropical Storm Dawn in the Gulf was blocked by that massive heat wave in the Midwest, dropped less than an inch of rain on Texas, which actually needs about 15 more inches just to catch up. And that punishing drought is itself a record. Federal drought monitors announced this week the number of states in exceptional drought during July was the largest ever measured, costing an estimated $1.5 billion in losses so far this year.
You know, Rush Limbaugh says all of this is just a government conspiracy.
Rush Limbaugh is wrong.
Well, what are the chances of that?
Senate Bill 365 is agreed to.
The curtain has closed, for now, on the great debt ceiling theater in Washington that transfixed the media and the country.
It shouldn't take the risk of default, the risk of economic catastrophe, to get folks in this town to work together and do their jobs.
The historic agreement ensures that the nation's debt limit will be raised by Tuesday's deadline, but will dramatically cut federal spending by trillions of dollars over the next decade. Among the biggest losers are clean energy and the environment, infrastructure, science, and research, and protections for the clean water, clean air, and public health protections we've enjoyed over the last 40 years of progress. Remaining in place, billions in taxpayer subsidies and tax breaks for big oil and other polluters. We have the specifics at our website, greennews.bradblog.com. But don't expect much when Congress returns from their August recess. Congressional Democrats Henry Waxman of California and Ed Markey of Massachusetts called this current Congress, quote, the most anti-environment House in history, cataloging in the new report that House Republicans have, since January alone, voted against the environment 110 times. It's the plan of Republican Congress members to dismantle and destroy everything they don't like, including killing off the Environmental Protection Agency. House Republican Mike Rogers outlined it in a recent interview.
If in fact, I think the American people do next November what they started last November, and that is cleaning house, and we do get a Republican-controlled Senate and a Republican president, I think you're going to see some dramatic structural changes in this country. And I'm not talking about just changes to the trust funds and the entitlement programs. For example, who says that the federal government has to have an EPA? Every state has their own Environmental Protection Agency. Why does the federal government need to be doing that?
On the Senate floor just prior to the vote to pass the debt ceiling legislation, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid expressed optimism that Congress will now work together on creating jobs and boosting clean energy and infrastructure. But Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell told Fox News recently the Republicans plan to replay this hand over and over again.
Hope you're enjoying that drought, Texas. If you're waiting for help from the federal government, keep waiting. For more on those stories and the ones we did not get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider a donation to help sponsor the Green News to keep us on your public airwaves. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Trouble ahead, trouble behind, and you know that ocean just crossed my mind.
A buzzer took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzer tried to throw the monkey off his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack, straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in diving. What's the use of jiving? Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top." The buzzer told the monkey, "You are choking me. Release your hold and I will set you free." The monkey looked the buzzer right dead in the eye and said, "Your story's so touching, but it sounds just like a lie. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down."
I am sitting here behind a microphone and I can't sit still. The great Nat King Cole. The Nat King Cole Trio. Straighten up and fly right. And before that, back before the Green News Report, to answer the multitude of emails coming in, a lot of you, Bob, what was that? Well, what that was Will Kimbrough. Will Kimbrough, an amazing talent and a superior artist, and a song called Betty Was Black. Betty Was White. I'm sorry. No, Willie was white. Betty was black. I'm easily confused. But, yeah, Will Kimbrough. And Will Kimbrough is, he resides in Nashville now. He's been on this show. Song courtesy of David in Tennessee. But Will is an Alabama boy. Will was born and raised in Alabama, South Alabama, I believe. And there's, you know, if you are of good mind and good spirit, there are amazing things that can come out of that place.
but that's the operative phrase, come out of that place. Because it's, amazing place. But a lot of people had to leave there to achieve their greatness. I think of Helen Keller. I think of W.C. Handy. And that's just my little hometown. In an indirect way, Dred Scott left Florence, Alabama, and changed the face of America. Will Kimbrough. Will Kimbrough. And to the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Tracy.
I'm sitting here reading your review on Rainbow Pie on Amazon.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm like, was that a compliment? No, just kidding.
Yeah, no, click it is helpful, by all means.
No. I am going to read. No, I already read it, and I'm going to buy the, because I got onto the show late, so I heard nothing. I said maybe the last few minutes of what you were talking about. So I went on to, and I'm going to, and by the way, they still have it. It's in stock at Amazon.com,
yeah,
in case.
And it's available on Kindle as well.
Cool. Maybe I'll order it from Kindle. I can read it right away. But I'm still old-fashioned. I like the hard copies of books. I don't know. I every time I try to read something on my Kindle, I don't know. I can't do it.
I'm hooked. Now, I'm just the opposite. I resisted, and then resistance is futile. I joined the Borg and started reading.
So you're a Borg now, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, got the little thing over my eye and everything.
You have been assimilated.
I have been. And you know what? There are little lessons to be learned, Tracy, because my Kindle started misbehaving. And all of a sudden it was...
Did you restrain it?
No, I rebooted it.
Did you put a ball gag on it?
Now, stop it! Michael asking, how'd I learn? You know what? You know how I learned about all those things? I learned about all those things reading stories about Republicans. That's how I learned
things.
Honey,
that's all you got to do. They are probably the most repressed sexually, blah, 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 whatever.
Well, speaking of Alabama, you remember the story? And see, you haven't been with us long enough for me to have an opportunity to play Dildo from Montgomery. You remember the story of that fine, upstanding Southern Baptist minister in Montgomery, Alabama, where you can't buy, illegal to buy a dildo in the state of Alabama? And his wife came home from a trip away to see the in-laws or somewhere, or went hiking the Appalachian Trail, who knows what. And she comes home and finds him dead.
No.
Yeah, she found him dead in a rubber suit. From erotic asphyxiation with two of those illegal in Alabama dildos, one in his mouth, and the other one wasn't massaging. It wasn't massaging his neck. tonight's word on the horn is ball gag.
Ball gag.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh my God, Jesus wept.
We'll get through.
We'll get through, but I don't know where to start between the Sandra Rios person. See, again, I didn't hear all of it, but my boy, I'm not a huge Al Sharpton fan, but I actually, while I was listening to the show and playing in a chat room, I went ahead and looked at that video, the clip between Al Sharpton and Pat Buchanan. Have you watched the whole thing?
No, I haven't yet. I'm saving that for after the show. I mean, Pat said...
He said, your boy. And Reverend Al said, boy? What? Excuse me, what?
No, he called him out. He did? Please
he did.
Tell... Yes, thank you.
Yes. Al, that's, like I said, I have never in my lifetime ever been really an Al Sharpton fan. And when I heard he was on MSNBC, I'm like, oh, Jesus. But hell, even the hair is under control now. He got it. It's like this big old, I don't know, pompadour now. It's closer to his head, which is a good thing.
Well, they probably made him get a haircut, MSNBC.
They have to.
If you take Cenk Uygur's remarks about life at MSNBC at face value, I have no doubt they probably made Revenow get a haircut.
Yeah, they made, but he reamed Pat Buchanan, because basically the interview, when, you know, they were talking about the debt ceiling, and first, you know, he said, you know, that Mitch McConnell whipped President Obama, and he got him on that one. He's like, no, he did not whip him. If anything, y'all got whipped, you know, what, on and on and on, because I still think that the debt ceiling thing is bullshit, but that's a whole other conversation. But he basically told Pat, he is not my president, he is not, he is a man. And then he's like, when I was a young man, I ain't never been nobody's boy. I'm like, oh, ow.
About damn time.
Ow, straight. And then he's like, you know, and then he's like, and then he just wouldn't stop. And then he says some shit about the briar patch. Well, don't throw me in that briar patch. But, you know, first of all, the briar patch is too good for you, Pat, because if you read the story, Brer Rabbit used the briar patch to get away from Brer Fox and Brer Bear.
Right, whereas if you want to make an analogy for Pat Buchanan, it's maybe don't throw me in the pillowcase factory.
Exactly. You know, don't throw me in the tar and feather, okay? But it's like I said, you know, I thought to my, when he said that, I'm like, you know, Pat, the briar patch is too good for you. If you want it, where you should get thrown is thrown under the goddamn bus, you know, because you are an antiquated, flat. Okay, anyway, he needs to be fired.
Yeah, you're all the time telling me to breathe.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't even, like I said, that was a I need to breathe moment, because it's like, my, like I said, I am not happy with my president right now, but he is still freaking POTUS.
Yeah, and still HUMAN.
It's exactly. He is still a man. He is, not, you know, don't, this bullshit that these white, crazy white people, and yes, I said it, you know, that's my favorite phrase in the whole wide world, crazy white people. And what were we just talking about yesterday? You said they are, what, three steps away from calling him boy?
No, they're two steps away from calling him the word I ain't gonna say.
Okay, no. So, but we did mention that they ain't but a minute away from calling him boy. And then what does Pat Buchanan take his happy ass on television and say?
Boy.
Boy.
Somebody's listening to the program.
Yo.
See, I haven't told you. I mean, you know what Obama's code name is with the Secret Service, right?
Oh, I forget, but what is it?
Renegade. Renegade.
Renegade, right.
Yeah. And see, when they announced that, because I am an old DJ, and this is old news to other listeners, but just kind of catching you up a little bit and maybe other new listeners. When they announced that his name was Renegade, the old DJ in me, see, I don't need an MP3 player because by virtue of sitting behind control boards in my youth and being a musically oriented person, I got all kinds of songs just stuck in my head. I can earworm at a moment's notice, and it'll just be there for a few days. But when I saw it, really? His code name's going to be Renegade? Why? And there were articles all over the place, Tracy. Well, you know, that's another example of the tongue-in-cheek nicknaming, code-naming system that the Secret Service has. After all, they called Dick Cheney was a fisherman, and they called him Angler. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, let me think. Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life. Come the long arm of the law. Oh, that's funny. The first line of the song Renegade by Styx is, Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Hangman is coming down from the ladder, and I don't have very long. Okay, so far, the old DJ in me is going, this is disturbing. And then, of course, somebody in Styx screams, No! You know, something like that. I'm not singing anymore. Can't make
it. Don't do it.
But the next line, and it was the one where I went, no, they didn't. I don't know. Do you remember this song, Tracy?
I remember it, but see, I'm a movie person.
Okay, so, because the next line is you're gonna go no.
Okay, go ahead. Say the next line.
The jig is up.
Oh, the jig is up. And see, here's.
But I'm just crazy. I'm just crazy. I guess I just look for that kind of filthy stuff. You know,
that's crazy because see the thing.
I expect it, Tracy.
you are a intelligent, learned man, okay? And so you know, and you're white, so you know, you have the code book. You were born with the code book.
No, I got my captain Captain Cracker decoder ring. Yes, absolutely.
So you when you hear, because see, I mean, I hear it, of course, because, you know, I'm like, do you really think I'm stupid? But you hear it even more, and it makes you cringe harder than it makes me cringe. It just pisses me off. But you got cringed and pissed off.
But see, and remember, this is the same Secret Service, and I'm going to go back to this thesis. I think this deserves to get some legs. This is the same Secret Service where a supervisor was disciplined, if not dismissed, for sending around jokes on the email.
You know, what frightens me about the Secret Service, now what you just said about the fact that a supervisor got sent, you know, got disciplined for sending around in-joke emails, and these are the people that are supposed to be protecting him. If I were him, I'd be more afraid of the Secret Service and the people who are in the Secret Service, or, you know.
Well, you notice he's not right. You'll notice he's not sneaking off to McDonald's like Bill Clinton did.
No. I would be more afraid of who's guarding him than who are they guarding against. Did that make sense?
But what kind of a choice does he have? Because, after all, the other thing the Secret Service did announce was that threats against the life of the president have shot through the roof.
No, really?
Oh, yeah, since he took office, absolutely.
That's shocking.
All over the United States, ammunition sales went absolutely crazy.
Even though there's no such, you know, there was this urban legend back, well, it still goes on, about the word picnic. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you've heard of it, right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, and so, you know, this is back, you know, basically, you know, urban legend is the word picnic, for those of you who don't know, was because they, back in the day, you know, they would go around and just lynch black people at will. And so it was called pick a N-word. And so they would have picnics. And basically, I mean, this is not true. I mean,
oh, folks would show up, you know, yes.
You know, with picnic baskets and everything, and watching lynching. And so that's where you get the word picnic. And so there's this big thing that black people shouldn't use the word picnic and stuff like that.
Well, and there's pickaninny as well, which was
pickaninny. Same thing, you know. So
that was some sort of charming white old South euphemism for a baby black child carried in a bundle around mama's back or some such while she was sent back out into the fields.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that Pickaninny, that tar baby got done before Pickaninny, actually, that, as we refer, because Pickaninny is so much more, I don't know, eloquent.
Did you notice that, what's his name, Representative Lamborn from Colorado?
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that he sent a letter of apology to the White House this morning?
No, I want him to, as Randy Rhodes said, I want him to go up and hug the president.
Just like Sammy Davis and Archie Bunker?
Pretty much.
Just give him a big old kiss?
So today was my... speaking of Kindle, and I do try to stuff on Kindle. I don't remember... Did I ever mention about Ida Wells? Because this whole thing comes around about with the Lynch thing. For those of you who have Kindle, there's a bunch of... Ida B. Wells was one of the first black female journalists back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And her thing was to fight against lynching. So she did all these papers and stuff about the brutality of lynching and whatnot and so forth. But if you go onto Amazon and you type in Ida B. Wells, like about four or five of her papers are available for free to download on Kindle so you can read. You know, this is one of those things when they say for us to get over it and stop tripping about slavery and how black people have been treated over the last... How long has this country been in 400 years?
The country itself, what, 237?
Okay, but how long have we been here before... But let's just say 400 years.
Yeah, 400 years as of 2007.
You know, and still the same brutality is more going on still today. You know, it's just you know, we don't still have lynchings, but we have more black people in jail than will ever than any other race besides maybe Hispanic people, but still black people, black men outnumber just about everybody in our prison population in this country, you know. But Ida B. Wells, amazing woman. But I was reading about this thing that happened in New Orleans back in early 1900s about these cops that decided that they wanted to arrest these black men, but they couldn't. They had no warrant or anything, but we basically know they harassed them anyway. One cop got shot. It's ugly. And it started a mob that these, you know, because one of the guys got away. And in normal things, he was defending himself, but he knew as a black man in 1900 New Orleans, he didn't have a prayer. He had no judicial recourse or anything like that. So these people roamed the streets of New Orleans just killing and hanging black people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. So when I hear about, you know, when I read about stuff and hear Pat Buchanan, like I said, I have never been so proud of our River now.
Absolutely. But, you know, I saw that remark somewhere a week or so ago, and I guess it's probably just too much to ask, but it would be nice to know what, say, Lawrence O'Donnell or Ed Schultz or Rachel Maddow think about having to share airtime with that thing.
And that's what, because somebody,
because those three are getting ratings. If they stood together and went to the brass and said, you know what, Pat doesn't need to be back anymore. You can find some other Republican, conservative, whatever. But he just needs to go away because he's hurting the brand.
Yes. Exactly. And that's my thing. That's my thing. It's like, dude, seriously? How many more things? They got rid of Imus for saying, I'm not even going to repeat what he said, but they fired his happy ass, and what he said was nowhere near as bad. Well, it was bad. Nappy-headed hoe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Referring to, what basketball team was that?
Rutgers. Rutgers women's team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he was gone with Toot Sweet.
There was a little bit of outrage first, but yeah.
He was gone. And somebody, I sent out the tweet, a tweet earlier during the show about that, and I sent a copy of the link to the video, and I got all these tweets back going, oh my God, why isn't this being repeated? No, why isn't there more coverage? And I'm like, is that a rhetorical question? Why is this not getting more coverage? Are you kidding me? It's because this is a black man and it's Pat Buchanan. And you think Faux News is going to cover that? The fact that he called, did Faux News cover it when old boy called our president a tar baby? I mean, we're just talking MSNBC. We're not talking, you know, it's not going to be covered unless, you know, the only way a lot of people, I didn't hear about it until somebody tweeted it to me. And I was, you know, talking about outraged. I don't, as much as I love this country, I could not imagine living anywhere else. I know how Michelle Obama feels. Remember when President Obama was elected? And she's like, for the first time in a long, I'm proud of this country. Oh boy, did she get ripped for that. And I'm thinking to myself,
because that got morphed into Michelle Obama hates America.
No, Michelle Obama is a black woman who spent her entire life living in America and knows what it's like to love this country and hate it. Love the country, but hate its ways and hate what it does to other people who are not in the higher echelon, who are not in the
because the right wing religion industry is all the time in talking about issues of marriage equity and things like that. There's or especially homosexuality in general, they say, well, you know, love the sinner but hate the sin.
Yes.
They can't comprehend that in any other format except one of their own choosing, their own delineation, and their own framing. I mean, the supercilious, elitist smarminess of that hateful woman, the Sandy Rios, telling her opponent in that discussion, calling her a liar to her face. You know, thank God they weren't in the same studio.
Yeah, because see the thing.
But then again, the woman on our side would have behaved decorously. Yeah, how can you have your daughters and your granddaughters out there just how can as a woman how can you have them out there having sex all over the place?
Now, where did Bristol Palin have sex when she got pregnant?
Yeah, see.
Because last time I checked, the child was not only was she not married, but she was a child. She wasn't even an adult when she got pregnant.
She may have been of the age of consent in Alaska. To be fair,
age of consent is still not an adult.
No stretch of the imagination. It just saves certain people the inconvenience of a statutory rape charge.
True that. So my thing is at this point, you know. When Pat Buchanan is a dinosaur, he is a relic, and he needs to go.
And I guess we just have to wait for him to die. It's kind of like we called him Count Novakula. You remember Bob Novak?
Yes.
Yeah, he was every bit as nasty as Pat Buchanan, and we just had to wait around for him to die.
Well, I'm looking, you know, whenever I see, when they start panning the commercial, I mean, you know, watch, you know, Congress and all these, it's just a whole bunch of still old white men. So basically, we're going to have to wait till these old motherfuckers die. And I think I live for that. Like I told one of my passengers today, I live for fucking with white people. And I mean this in a nice way. Because whenever I get a chance to fuck with somebody that's gonna, I know, enjoys fucking with me, it gives me perverse pleasure.
Jan in the chat room pointing out, yeah, we had to wait around for Jerry Falwell too.
Exactly.
And I guess Pat Robertson. I think he's got to be getting near or hovering around 80. But remember, he's doing 350-pound leg presses every day because of his muscle mass milkshake that he mass markets. I mean, this is a guy who sold, I'll never forget the night that Peter Godbold told us about it. This is a man who hustled Sea of Galilee mud mask.
Sea of Galilee mud mask?
Yes. Cleanse the pores of your face with the mud from the sea where our Savior walked upon the water.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't it special?
This is why I love being an American, because I get, like I said, your show, and I love your show because, see, your show enlightens me so. It just makes me happy to be in a country where I can access your shows like you and find, you know, and get tweets from people like Dr. God. All these people that I can reach out to and listen to keep me sane. Because if I had to depend on what was on, you know, cable, what else and so forth and all that, I would be ignorant. Not ignorant, because I wouldn't even be able to afford the R. It's ignorant.
Well, you know, that's like me. I mean, everybody knows it was Monday night last night, and I looked up and went, "Holy shit, Bourdain!" and jumped in front of the because that's the one thing that, you know, I will watch along with college football, March Madness, and the occasional guys running around a green field in plaid pants golf match. Count on the for-profit media for news? No, really, that's like.
We can't even come up with an analogy or a metaphor or whatever. We just can't, because it would make our heads explode to try to come up with something that would even compare to try, you know, compare watching, you know.
Yeah, it's like counting on Dr. Pepper for medical advice. There we go. Took me a minute.
There you go. It took you a minute because I was lost. I'm not quick on my feet at times. Usually, I'm one of those people that the joke hit, you know.
Counting on Captain Crunch for sailing instructions.
To navigate the ocean.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or Dr. Demento.
That man couldn't beat the Crunchberry Beast, for God's sakes.
You know, or Dr. Demento, or any, you know, Dr. Detroit.
And Ron and Raleigh noting by email, he said, with regard to Bob Novak, he said, "I used to call him Slobberin' Bob Novak."
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing, and I know before you even say it, it's time for you to go.
Yeah, it is. Hey, look.
It's three till.
It is three till by my
clock. It is three till.
Got to get out.
Get out. So, as usual, God bless you. May God keep you. And, you know, just keep it moving.
Going to try.
All right, Bob.
See you, Tracy. Soon. Bye now.
Bye.
If you're still on hold, and there are a couple of you, ring back in tomorrow night. We'll be right here for prayer meeting, okay? Thanks to all of you. We needed 9 contributors to the Thrifty 250 this evening. We got 5, and that's a beautiful thing. And thank you to those of you who did share to make sure that September will be here now that we're into August for the horn. Thank you very much. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this go. Thanks to Lottie in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to Reverbo, our op-ed columnist, Cavalcade of Crazy at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Reverbo's got car troubles. Well, he doesn't have car troubles. Car's dead. So he's dealing with some of that right now. But he'll be back around. You'll hear from him. Thanks to John Fox. Thanks to my periodic head writer, David in Tennessee. Maybe I'll share it with you, the letter from Mrs. Lee to Mr. Lee. I got a few minutes. Jesus. Had to mute the mic. Should have gotten around to it. Thanks to John Fox, our chief engineer, webmaster, web designer, and keeper of Bob's technical sanity. And also, thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Since 2002, the one man more responsible than anybody else for making the Internet a haven for progressive, liberal, decent people radio. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And, of course, thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Go by, join up, it's cheap. Be part of this uprising against the horrors of mountaintop removal in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you. Smith is next from behind the Scrapple Curtain in Pennsylvania.